The following cast contains rude, crude, and disgusting language. You can leave now, but I wouldn't.
No. Ladies and gentlemen. Folks.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, all you foxes and coxes? I'm Heavy Metal.
And I'm Maddie Studios.
And guess what? You're listening to Heavy Meta.
Woo! We're back. Hey. We're back. We're never leaving, motherfucker. This is it. It's just me and Kevy. The way it should be.
Yeah, we don't have guests to go, like, you know, jumping in, swooping in, and fucking saving us anymore. We gotta run this thing on our own.
Yeah, because they don't really want to come on anymore. We run out of guests, actually, is the truth, so.
Nobody likes us.
They finally got wise. They realized that this is a dead-end cast, so. Too bad, it's your loss, motherfuckers.
Yeah, exactly. It took them too long to figure that out.
Yeah, exactly. We you know what, we tricked a few of them, you know, but then, oh, damn it. There are smarter bears in the wood.
That's right.
So, we, as you know, we like to go crazy and kick things off fast.
Kick in the shin?
Yeah, man, because this ain't no slow cast. We ain't going to slow roll you, man. Counter your shit at the end. We're going to drop.
You know how much I fucking hate control decks.
So, huge news got dropped this morning on Modo. I don't know if you've noticed, Kevy, but Power 9.
Oh, yeah. I saw a little bit about that.
To the cube. So, for those that don't know, the Power 9 is, of course, the most powerful cards of Magic. They're very expensive, and they're on the banned list, and I believe they're only legal in Vintage.
Thanks, yeah.
Pretty sure. They've never been on MTGO for some reason, so obviously they're going to drop them in cube. You can't buy them. You can't own them. Of course, they're not going to do that to you. They're just going to tease you for a while. But what is awesome is the art. Wow. Some of the new art is mind-blowing. And I don't know if
I saw. Yeah, I saw you tweet.
My buddy, the proxy guy, Z's Proxy Factory, which...
I'm sorry, at the proxy guy.
Sorry, yes. At Twitter. He is amazing, and he's doing a little trade with me that I will reveal on a future episode of some pretty badass custom foils that look insane. I got a preview of them, and my mind is blowing. But I just saw, I tweeted him, I was like, hey man, that new Mox or Black Lotus artwork, you should see what that looks like, full art. And so he mocked it up, and I'm like, oh my god. Can I get 10 of those? I'm going to give them out as Christmas cards.
Yeah, no shit.
They look fantastic. So there's that, which is pretty interesting. And I don't know if you know, of course, last week we had on MTGO Ferret there, and he was giving us his financial advice, which is actually, that man is pretty smart. He knows his shit. And he's kind of told us some things to keep out for, which we will be talking on a further cast, probably more in depth on finance and how to do it, and maybe a little more. We'll talk in about redemption, but not this cast. We're gonna save it.
No, I love how we do that shit too.
I know.
We always tell people like we're gonna talk about something again later on a further cast, just so that you guys have to keep fucking listening to us ramble drunkenly about magic.
No, I read that in the book. If we keep teasing you that there will be better shit, you'll keep coming back, and then we'll fool you again.
Yeah, we just got to keep them guessing. They're like, man, I've been waiting since episode one to hear you guys talk about X subject. And you still haven't come back to it yet. Oh, no, that's fine. It's at a later date.
Guys, we're editing episode 100 right now, okay?
Yeah.
By the time we get there, we will actually have it ready for you. So, by the way, financial tip, if you haven't noticed, so Red Black, Rack. Dose, the Kevy Guild, has won a couple big-time tournaments. In fact, it smoked last weekend. which was pretty crazy, man. Falcon Wrath Aristocrat, man, is above $25.
That's what I was gonna say. Like, the financial advice that we, you know, as the Heavy Meta Corporation has to give to you is sell your aristocrats to Kevy and Maddie.
No, I don't want to buy them at that price. Fuck that.
No. You're not supposed to tell them how expensive they are.
Yes. Okay. So if you've listened to this, don't listen.
Yeah.
Put it up.
They're at their bottom. Sell them to us. They're trash. Nobody wants them.
Yeah, no, that card, you got in early, didn't you?
Yeah, but then I sold them all.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Oh, man.
No, I sold my aristocrats the same time I sold my bonfires. I came up on, like, a small fortune. Then I spent it on fucking, like, hunt masters, thrag tusks, and drafting.
Yeah.
Like, that's where, like, my downfall was. I made a small fortune selling my four aristocrats and my fucking four bonfires, and then I, you know, even though Bonfire was dropping at the time, and then I bought Huntmasters, and I bought Thrag Tusks, and then I put together a deck. I didn't like it, and I said, you know what, fuck this. I don't like Standard right now. It's dumb. And so then I sat on those fucking, like, the Huntmasters and Thrag Tusks for, like, a week playing draft with the rest of my fucking proceeds from the fucking, the Rakdos sale that I had. And, yeah, I drafted my ass off, and I ended up a bunch of, like, one of random fucking, you know, rares and mythics that, you know, I've got, you know, still got some of them. I, you know, ended up with, like, Angel of Serenity and shit, but, like, nothing really that made back all the fucking money I spent on drafting.
But you got
then, of course, I sold my Thrag Tusks and got back into Red Black.
Now, you didn't sell the Huntmasters, because they look like they're going to go back up, too.
No, I sold those two at the same time.
Oh, you did? No, man. You fucking sold everything. You're breaking all the rules, man.
No, that's like...
sell high and buy in low speculation cards.
Well, you know, like, that's the thing, is I didn't lose, like, money on any of them other than, like, I lost money on drafting. But I didn't lose money on, like, on any of them, really, because, like, I sold the Huntmasters for, like, I mean... probably, you know, maybe a ticket or two less than I bought them for. The Thrag Tusks, I think I made money on because of the timing, not by much, but the bonfires, of course, I lost money from when I originally bought them. But
I thought you got them under, didn't you get them in there when they were around 20? Are you buying?
Oh, no, when I bought them, I bought them for fucking 40 because I bought, like, that's when I decided I was going to, like, start my article series.
Oh, yeah.
So the bonfires I spent, like, fucking bucks on. But, I mean, shit, that was tax money. It didn't really matter. It's not real money. But then, yeah, my aristocrats I made money on. Like, I didn't do too bad with selling this stuff. It was just I ended up spending, like, most of the rest of it on drafting. But that I did learn a huge fucking lesson from all that. And that's, like, I'll tend to get into that spot where I'm like, I don't really have money to fucking, you know, spend on cards right now. Or spend on fucking drafting, but I want to jump on, I want to fucking play, you know, and I don't feel like fucking dicking around, you know, playing in the casual room or playing in the tournament practice room.
Right.
You know, I get on, you know, want to get on and do a draft or jump into a fucking daily or something like that, and I'm like, oh, that's right, I have this fucking, you know, Supreme Verdict, or I have this fucking, you know, whatever fucking, you know, decent money card that I'm never gonna fucking use. Like, oh yeah, I pulled that out of a fucking draft. Like, oh sweet, I'll just go sell that to a fucking bot real quick, and that turns into tickets, and then I can fucking draft, and then I pull a bunch of bulk $1 rares out of my fucking draft, and then lose, and it sucks. So I've learned to hold on to that shit, like the shit that I'm not using.
Have to build. See, this lesson number one. You have to understand that when you move to Modo, you have to realize that you are building playable, like, your playability for the future. So you're, I mean, the very few percentage of people are going to be able to go infinite. And this is a subject we'll talk again, another cast, but to go infinite is very difficult. I don't think it's as easy as some of the writers out there make it seem to be. No. You know, we're of average players, as Jay Boosh says, we're shit, which he's probably correct. I mean, we're okay, but we're learning. But I can't go into, like, I can take down a daily, I can take down a 4-0, I've even won 8 bands, but I can't do that consistently after, like, 50 times in a row, you know, like, that's my 1 out of 10, you know, maybe I'll do it. Right, and, right. You know, if you try to play the mocks, like, my goal is to eventually, I'd like to enter a Mox and try to place. I mean, even top 64. I mean, they're so hard, though. I was watching on the weekend during the GP there, and I was watching the Mox firing, and, I mean, people were just dropping it left, right, and center. It's just brutally, brutally hard, especially when it's, like, sealed. Dude, you get a shitty pool, you're out. There's $30. So, when it comes to modal,
yeah, you get a good pool and then you lose to the guy that had a fucking
he gets racked.
Shitty pool, but is just a way better fucking player than you.
Yeah, it's called brick. Off. I never drew the Jace, right? So, the way I look at it is, modal should be more about building the cards you want to play with long term. So, talking with Marcel and a couple other people, the idea behind what we try to preach to players that are coming into Modo for the first time or maybe even into the game is don't try to speculate your way up in the marketplace until you are well, and I mean well versed. I've played since 94. I still am not as well versed financially in the game to make moves. I am just now, I am literally just now trying to understand, like with Ravnica, and I'm studying, daily prices. I'm watching them go up and down. I'm looking for where the low points are and where they may reoccur again. It's like analyzing fucking stocks.
You've actually been really good about that. Like, you've been really, like, you've learned a lot just, you know, in the short time we've been doing this cast and you've been getting more into that. Like, I can see, like, how much better you're getting with, like, picking up on that kind of shit.
Yeah, and figuring it out. I'm calling things now, which is, that's the first step I've realized. Like, if you're just like, oh, I love this card, I'm going to speculate on it, that's probably a really stupid ass move. Like, don't do that. Like, I think I have lots of cards that I was like, oh man, this card is so good, right? What's funny though is a card like Mayor of Averbrook, when Innistrad came out, and that card was, I think it was the promo pre-release or something, so there was so many versions of it around, and it was like a buck or something, but I love that card. And I, at the time, I mean, it was probably very bad. I was like, man, I'm going to speculate the shit out of this card because it was like 20 cents. So I bought like $3 worth, right? So I got like 16 copies. But I liked the card. And I've kind of saw the future that this, the number one thing that my tip will be to anyone out there is speculate the shit out of anything that's human-based. They don't understand. Remember when Innistrad came out? They just made human tribal a thing now. Before, if you don't know this, they weren't referencing human lords on cards. There was knight lords or white
soldiers
lords.
Or
But to when you reference human, suddenly the 20,000 card pool of Magic gets very big for human tribe. Much bigger than merfolk, much bigger than elves.
That's true.
So, man, like, you look at Josh out of Layton's green-white deck in the GP, which, funny enough, is the exact deck I was playing online, which I put together. I think I was only off by 6 cards of his list, and I was getting told, as you can listen in episode 5, that I was an idiot for playing that deck. Yet alone, he almost won it, right? So human tribal is something to be just, not every card, you know, not every card human is going to be good. There's a lot of them that are just bad, but look at Modern. Look at Legacy. Stoneforge Mystic, which is not a human, by the way, but any cards that are like two converted mana cost, one converted mana cost, that you can put together this incredibly advanced curve, right? Just copy, like, look at Merfolk. Merfolk is a bunch of super cheap fish cards, but they all pump each other. So if we get one or two more lords, I mean, humans is going to be like merfolk, and the interaction between humans is 1,000 times better than merfolk, 1,000 times. So, heavy meta tip right now.
Well, that's true, too. Like, I can see that, because there's so many, like a subclass or whatever, like, it'll say human this, human that. Yep. You know, like, and that I've seen all over the place. Like, I mean, yeah, I'm a newer player, but, I mean, like, it does. It's like, you see that way more often than you see any other sort of type or subtype.
Yeah, and people don't notice it, right? Like, an elf player is like, oh, man, I'm getting these elves. But you see humans so many times, you don't think of them as a tribe. But they actually are one of the most powerful tribes. Another thing to keep in mind, too, is everyone has always said blue dual lands are worth more than everything else. And I would have tend to agree with that. But what's interesting is humans are primarily centered around green and white.
Right.
And I'm just going to put out a speculation call right now. But green and white lands? I don't know. They're really cheap. Maybe something's coming down the road. Kind of something to think about.
Right.
You know, to keep in mind. But a really cool tip in the green-white build, just something that I started doing is my green-white human build is very, very fast, right? And I use Rancor and Silverblade Dagger, right? So that's that dagger. That
Silver Inlay Dagger, yeah.
Yeah, Silver Inlay Dagger, right? So it's like a huge pump. So if you can get, if on turn three or on turn, like on turn three, if you've ramped, you know, you've got your Silverblade Palladian. You can
Paladin.
Yeah, Paladin. God damn it. You can throw the dagger on him, throw a Rancor on him, and dude, you're hitting for 16 damage.
Jesus.
It is very common that I win just flat out on turn four, right? Yeah. And then what I've started doing, which I think is really cool tech, is I use Face Shield. Yeah, Face Shield, right? The one mana white as a counterspell. Now, I know it's counterintuitive, like, well, why is it a counterspell? It's because all you're doing at that point is you're protecting your kill, just like Blue-White Delver used to with the Pike. All they were doing... Right.
What does it do?
Well, it just protects. Like, it gives your creature or permanent protection from a color. So let's say they go to Azorius Charm it. Well, protection blue. Let's say they go to Doomblade it. Protection black, right? And the idea is, if it's dealing 16 damage, you only have to get that thing through once.
Right.
And chances are you've already hit them for 4 points before they're dead. And right. Even if you use it as a, you know, use it for protection to get through their guys. I mean, it's actually very interesting. The green-white build is very powerful. The only thing that I will say, I ran into Olivia, the fucking vampire chick. Mm-hmm. And I literally took down like 5-6 people in a row, and I ran into like the Kevy, who was playing black white. Like, yep. I'm gonna kill this guy. He's dead. No, he dropped an Olivia on me, and he just went, and he just, I had nothing. Like, I couldn't do anything.
Yeah, because I'm assuming you probably don't have a whole lot of removal in that deck.
Yeah, like my only real removal I was playing was the Selesnya Charm, and I was playing. I was splashing black for Ultimate Price, which I thought was like awesome, but then I took it out to make room for more redundancy for a faster kill. But I think that was probably, well, I mean, it wouldn't have killed Olivia anyways. But it's something I might put back in. I did actually figure out the Crushing Vines, which is the Destroy Artifact, Destroy Flyer card. And it's okay. It takes out the Olivia, takes us Angels, and it takes us Thundermaw, which are pretty key cards. I mean, in certain matches, you just want
to. That's you ever think about, like, actually, that's one that I like a lot. And playing my, like, when I was doing my blue green Delver thing a little while back.
God, that sounds disgusting coming out of your mouth.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Well, doing my blue green Delver.
While I was doing that, I mean, it is what it is. Like, even though it's blue and green and not red and black, it's still just fucking kill them before turn.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, one of the things I found, because I was running into issues a lot playing Daniel's Angels deck, and I started using Bower's Passage or Bower Passage.
Yes, that's interesting.
Because, I think...
That's that enchantment, or is it a spell? It's an enchantment or Flyer's Campaign?
It's an enchantment. I think it's an enchantment.
Let me look it up.
I'm pretty sure it's an enchantment. But yeah, flyers can't block your attacks. So that just blanks his whole fucking deck when that's out, because his whole goddamn deck is Angels. They're all flyers. But I mean, looking at with what's going on right now with, you know, the shit you were just naming off with fucking Olivia, with fucking Lingering Souls, with Hellkite, and all of these in the air creatures, if you can just stop them fucking cold, then why not?
Listen to this, man. That's a good call. So Bower's Passage is a one in a green enchantment. Creatures with flying can't block creatures you control. Wow. See, there's tech right there. Like, who's going to even look that card up? That's interesting. And, dude, Lingering Souls does nothing. That's actually not bad.
No, and if you're playing Lingering, I mean, that's at least a sideboard in the mirror for that fucking, well, every deck that's playing Lingering Souls now. even my red black deck, I just am now.
No, are you splashing it out?
Yeah, I'm running fucking. Well, I'm still kind of messing with it a little bit, but I'm running the isolated chapels and the clifftop retreats for lingering.
You're getting ready for gay crash.
Oh, basically.
That's what I'm doing too. I'm already like, oh man, I'm playing a three. I'm playing the wedge. What wedge am I playing? But you know what?
Everybody's playing Lingering Souls. It's like, all right, cool. And you know, you go deep on your Lingering Souls, and you know, they're like, all right, well, I'm doing that too. And then they've got their fucking field of blockers. You got your field of blocker. You got your field, and then you're just like, oh yeah. And by the way, none of those fucking spirit tokens can block any of these ones.
It's actually really interesting. I'm gonna experiment with that. I think that's damn good, man. Good call. Good one, man. I like it.
Yeah, that's going to be the only time I ever said anything smart.
No, I think you've said two smart things during the six episodes. He's every three episodes.
Thank God that these are recorded and then uploaded to the internet so that there is proof for my grandchildren that I actually said something smart.
The Kevy Meta Wikipedia page on this day, yeah. 2012, he actually said something smart.
It's just a picture of my dick with both my middle fingers up and then just two quotes from me that were...
there you go. So, check this out. So, obviously, if you follow us on Twitter, which if you're not, you're an asshole, and you should. And if you do, you're awesome, and we love you. I put out a call for a question and answer period, which I thought would be interesting. And if you know, last week, or I think it was a couple weeks ago, Jay and some people suggested that you send us a bunch of dicks. So several of our email questions were related to penises, and I will delete those. But we did get some interesting ones. So insert awesome music here. And we will begin this wicked Q&A episode of Kevy Meta.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. Now, I'm not editing this. I'm just going to read verbatim what these people write. And we will...
not editing this cast at all?
No, there's no editing. We're actually so good, we don't even edit.
Yeah.
Just us, man. Lies. Okay, so question number one. Love the show, guys. I play paper and hear so much good things about MTGO, but every time I try it, I want to poke my eyes out with an ice pick and shit all over the keyboard till I die of hydration. Help me love the digital game. Help me love it, Kevy Meta. P.S. I'm poor. Signed, Digital Chaos.
The way you read that sounded like there needed to be like fucking lounge music going on.
Yeah, no, there'd definitely be a harp. I don't even know what to say to this guy because, thank you for telling us you love the show. I'm glad to hear you're trying MTGO. But then the second part of your question about you're shitting on your keyboard has got me very worried about what drugs you're taking.
You know, sometimes it's gotta happen, man. Like,
I mean, I guess.
You know, shit goes down. Sometimes shit's gotta happen.
I mean, I do sympathize with the guy. I mean, I remember when I first came onto the game and I booted up the NTGO for the first time, and I was like, what the fuck? I didn't know what was going on. What was your experience like when you first installed the client?
I was like the old man screaming at the TV. That's not the channel I want! No, I hated
it. I screamed too.
I really did. I hated Moto with everything I had. I started playing Magic like for a very brief period of time back when I was like junior high school, you know, back in like 94. And then I didn't play Magic again until fucking M12 came out. And so, like, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember Magic. This is fun. This is a card game. And I started getting into it a little more, and then I realized, you know, found out about Moto and stuff, and I started listening to podcasts and, you know, checking shit out on the internet. I was like, holy crap, there's this whole fucking community around this? I thought this game would have died by now.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah, I had no idea that anything happened with Magic between fucking those periods of time. And I was just like, oh man, there's actually people that give a shit about this game? That's pretty cool. Got into it, listened to podcasts and stuff, saw what Moto was. I was like, oh, right on. They got this shit online too? Well, fuck. I mean, it's $10. I'll jump on there. And I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, I'm so used to like.
How long did it take to even install the client, right? It takes like 45 minutes to download it.
Yeah, I don't remember how long all that shit took. I remember I downloaded it. This vaguely resembles Magic, but like what Magic was to me, especially because it was still a way newer player, I was like, this isn't Magic. This is a goddamn video game. And then again, it turned into me like the old man yelling at the TV. And fucking, so like I was like, it literally took like a couple, like, you know, you get the little fucking gold bordered fucking Planeswalker cards.
Oh, and I wish I never opened that pack of gold cards because I see it in my collection and I want to get rid of it.
Yeah, it's awful. And
you can't use it. Like, Wizards, hey, just a tip, trick, or worth, whoever the fuck is in charge of MTGO, take that gold-bordered garbage and get it off of there. You have Duels of the Planeswalker for entry-level people. Do not, because I don't know how many people I have, my friends, I've referred them to the game, they install it, and they do exactly what I did. Oh, look at these free cards, I'm going to go open them, and it's gold. And then they don't understand, and I remember I threw the mouse at the screen, I put together a deck, right? What's the first thing you want to do? I go casual room, play Magic. Okay, well, I've got a bunch of these gold cards. So you make a deck and you spend, like, what, 35 minutes building this gold-bordered deck? Because
your shit's wrong.
Yeah, because I'm like, well, they're gold. I guess online has gold cards, right? So you sit there and you try to enter and it's like, no, illegal cards. What the fuck illegal cards? And I remember going on to Google and like, oh, how do I play this game? And there's no information. Like, it gives you all the wrong answers. Like, get that shit out of there.
You know what? Like, you were the guy that went as far as to go on to Google. Like, that's most people that are like, that you could have had, like, you know, as Watsy, like, those are most of the people in the world would have been all, well, this is fucking stupid. And
they
just
do, and leave.
Program and then leave, and that's, you know, you guys probably be making a hell of a lot more money if you'd actually fucking, you know, well, hire somebody that didn't design Windows 95 to fucking
exactly
build fucking your online shit. I mean, for fuck's sake, how hard is this? Like, I get it if this were like an online fucking football game or something like that. I get let me finish.
Okay.
If this were like an online football game or an online, I don't know, spit in a fucking can game, like, you probably aren't going to have the talent pool out there to design a good computer program. But guess what?
Yeah, you make $1 billion a year.
Systems on the fucking planet. Who plays your game? A bunch of people that know how to use their computers very well, a bunch of people that are programmers, a bunch of people that, I don't know, build apps for fucking, you know, build apps for your iPhone to use with your Magic cards. And then what do? You hire,
well,
I don't
we
know.
We don't even know who they hired. Here's the worst thing.
Design shit, and then, oh my God, yeah. I'm not going to rant on
them. Yeah, I mean, well, they get shit on enough, but we're going to shit on them a little more. But here's what you need to do. Here's the perfect solution. When I buy my $10 Moto account, this is what should happen, okay? Worth, listen up if you ever listen to this guy. And if he doesn't, anyone who knows Worth, tell him to just listen to this one segment. I should get a deck, a pre-built deck, so that I don't have to construct the deck, because I think the number one thing that people do wrong, and this is actually 100% of every single person I've talked to, they try to build a deck because that's what you do in real life, and they don't understand there's all different formats, and it's so easy to put one wrong card in your deck and then get frustrated and leave. So if you gave me a 60 card pre-constructed standard deck, whatever,
yeah, the
whatever
ones that come out with every fucking set.
Exactly. And how about you just let me choose, so I get to choose goblins. All right, I'm gonna play my goblin deck, and then it opens. I get no packs. I get no cards. Nothing. Just that deck.
Yeah, just and like then, when you walk into a Magic store to go learn how. Go ahead.
Exactly right. So you get your deck and you hit play, and it automatically throws you into the queue for the casual tournament room, or even the casual room. And you start playing. That way, the experience from installing the client to playing is absolutely one button.
It's like walking into a room full of cordial people instead of walking into a prison cell full of people that want to rape you.
Rape your ass. Exactly. And I've witnessed this in game stores. Kid comes in, stands around the tables, doesn't know what to do, blah, 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 has no money. And I've seen the bad version where people are like, hey, why don't you buy one pack of Ravnica, one pack of Scars of Mirrodin, and then you gotta buy one pack of the Dark. And actually,
at least the kid can use those cards. Yeah, what happens when the kid like leans against the table? He's like, this game looks pretty fun, I want to try it. And so we all sell him a bunch of gold-bordered cards and then get him to enter the tournament and tell him he's not allowed to use any of those cards and then kick him on his ass out the fucking door.
That's like, That's the scummy store owner would do that to you. But
yeah, well... You mean Moto?
Yeah. Well, actually, that's a good point, right? So there you go, Moto. So you think you're all on the high horse, but you're actually the scummy store owner, because it is very confusing. And I know many people who, and including me, the first time I tried the game, I said, I feel ripped off, and I left for 6 more months until... Of course, it's like crack. I had to go back and get abused again. And I went through the thing to finally just figure it out. But it was very frustrating. It should be better. So to answer your question, Digital Chaos, I don't know.
To come around from this, although we just spent fucking forever blasting Moto, yet you and I both, like... play the majority of our Magic on Moto. Now that we've got the problems with it out of the way, this is what happened with me. I fucking hated it. I hated every bit of it. I turned it off. I didn't come back for months and months and months and months and months. I played Magic with a couple friends. I live in a place where I don't have a paper, like, Magic. I mean, you know, a group to play with. I had my girlfriend's brother, and we would go down to the comic shop that has Magic cards and, well, comic/toy store that has fucking Magic cards, and we go down there, and they had no organized play going on except for pre-releases and shit. And so, like, as I was getting into it, there wasn't much going on in paper, so it was just me and a couple friends fucking playing. And then I started listening to podcasts and shit, and I started getting more into the community and more of what's really going on with, you know, and the competitive side of me. I was like, oh, man, this seems awesome. I'd really like to get into this side of the fucking game, but I have no way to. And then old fucking Tangent starts writing an article called Moto Hero. And I started reading it. Cause I would listen to, you know, his podcast before, and I liked the guy, and I was like, you know, all right, I'll check this out, and, you know, I'll see what this is all about. And it just, you know, like from the first article, like, you know, he put it very simply. He's like, I don't have time to go to fucking F&M. I mean, he's got the ability to, like, in the place where he lives.
I agree.
He's like, I don't have time to go to F&Ms. I don't have time to go play fucking paper Magic, really. You know, by time I get off work, F&M is fucking over, and, you know, I can occasionally go to a fucking paper tournament, but I'm doing this article, like, I'm doing this online, and it just kind of, I was like, oh, you know what, like, that makes sense, because I want to get a hell of a lot more playing in. I love this game now, I'm excited about this, but I've got two fucking people to play with, and they have the same decks that they've had for years. And, like, I'm really getting into, you know, I'm listening to fucking the A-Team, I'm listening to Public Enemies, I'm listening to all these podcasts, and they're telling me, like, all the shit that's going on right now. And then I'm going
to... Gotta be on Moto, right? So the whole thing is, you got pulled into it because that's where the action was happening, right?
Exactly.
Right. And that's exactly what I happened to. I mean, it got to the point, just like you, I don't have the time. And then that's really what it was. And if I want to play a game at, like, 10:30 or midnight... and there's no one around, and I've got 20 minutes, this is the only place, unless you live in some really fucked up, weird area, is, you know, the only place you're going to get action is on Moto, right?
It's got fucking, it's got all the rares and standard just chilling in his trench coat. You just thought, hey, man, you want to get a game in? You want to get a game in? Let's
No, I don't want to get a game with you in, no. Not that kind of game. But to answer this poor guy's question, so he wants to know how to love the game. I guess the short answer would be you already love the game. Okay, so the digital game is, yeah, I mean, the digital game is the same game. It's just presented in a slightly different way.
It's yourself to get past the awful interface.
Now, hold on. You got to tell them, like, not a lot of people really know that they are building a beta. It is better. It looks a lot better.
I can talk all the shit in the world about the fucking the current fucking moto, but every time I try to use the beta, I'm like the grandpa yelling at the screen.
So you're back to square one. Well, maybe okay. Digital Chaos, please send us another email about the go. Here's what we're gonna want you to do: do your homework, go download the beta, and if you have the same experience, we will do the same answer for you next week.
Yeah, we'll give you the same answer. No, and honestly, like it's you know, if you want to get into the digital side of the game, then like it is awesome to be able to
once
have that.
In. Yeah,
you just have to get used to it. No, and no. At the end he says, "P.S. I am poor." Yeah, me too, and that's why I don't play paper. Like I mean, like the paper decks that I have are trash. Because
now,
like I don't play in paper that often.
Tell them. Okay, so we recently started playing EDH on Thursday nights. Tell them how much your EDH deck cost.
Oh, dude, I like my EDH. Deck
five tickets, six tickets,
maybe if that.
Okay, so there you go. So his EDH deck in paper would probably cost $400, and it was five tickets. So there you go. So if you are
Moto is way cheaper than paper.
Yeah, way. So if you are
you can't do like you know, none of us really well, I mean not none of us, but none of us can really afford a really good paper collection and a really good Moto collection. You gotta kind
it's
of
not possible. Yeah, that is something that I am balancing and I'm failing at.
As Maddie has said before on that note too, like, you know, okay, number one, Moto is going to definitely be a lot cheaper than fucking paper. And, you know, you might have that mentality like I used to that I'm like, oh, well, I'm buying these fucking cards. I mean, although the paper cards are fucking cardboard. They're not much more expensive than a digital version, but it is what it is. Like, you know, paper cards you can hold in your hand and you can trade them off to your friends and shit like that. You can do the same fucking thing on Moto, and yes, it's a digital version of it, but there's redemptions, which we've talked lots about before.
We will talk much further in depth, because I know that redemptions are probably the one thing that if you are getting into the game, you have no clue that it even exists, but it is true. If you collect one of every card in a set, you can redeem it for only $5 and get paper versions. Right. So it's not, don't think, and I know it's hard because I did it too, don't think that you're throwing your money away on digital, blah, blah, blah. You are investing in a game. You know, you have to suck it up that this is not a cheap game, but you can play it much, much more effectively. And I think one of the best points, and Kevy's probably going to agree with me, is I can play with anyone around the world, and I would never meet any of these people in real life.
Absolutely.
So that's probably why we love the game, because you jump on Skype, you play with some people in Hawaii, you can play some people in fucking whoever, man. I'm playing with Kevy and he...
Well, yeah, exactly. Like
we are actually right here in the Heavy Metal headquarters right now. But
yeah. Well, yeah.
But you know what I'm saying. So I guess that's kind of what we would say about the game.
Well, there's one question answered. I think that took us like an hour and a half.
Well, we only got four.
So. And I actually and I don't even know that we answered that question.
I think we kind of answered it. Okay, so here, we're going to do
Give us some feedback. At least let us know if we even somewhat answered your question.
Yeah,
in that
okay, so here. Send us, please, tweet us and tell us a percentage. Just say...
At a studio.
Yeah, or at Kevy Mills. So say 50.
No. If you're angry, just at Matty Studios.
Yes, and please, I want an email picture of your dick and how much percentage we fucked up that. All right, so... So next question. This one we're gonna answer straight because there's no
sweep it under the rug.
Yeah, there's no just get out next. So there's no confusing this next question. It's actually a very hateful thing, so directed at Kevy. So I will read it. I don't understand your hatred of Thalia and the cosplay community. I have listened to every episode and have heard nothing but hate about economically impoverished, overweight, socially challenged individuals who choose to seek their enjoyment in fantasy and through role playing. Why can't I come to my F&M in my Liliana Vest or Jace the Mind Sculptor costume without being attacked, both verbally and physically, by a drugged-out wannabe rock star? Signed, Cosmo the Politician? I don't know if it's Polititan or Politician. That's probably directed at you.
I'm gonna right off the bat. I'm gonna hope that came from Sup Stevie, because that just sounds like some shit that he would say. But regardless, Oh man. Well, okay. Let's see. Where is the question in there? Why can't I come to F&M in my costume of Liliana Vess or Jace the Mind Sculptor without being attacked both verbally and physically by a drugged out wannabe rock star?
I think she,
there's no reason that you can't, like, it's going to happen. Like, I'm going to, like, to be honest with you, there's not going to be much, like, verbal anything going on there. Like, until you're unconscious, you're not going to remember any of the verbal attacking that's happening to you. Like, there's going to be, like, throat punches and then, like, me getting arrested for public urination after assault because I'm going to piss all over you and your fucking Thalia.
Well, I mean, I think what she's getting at, or he, I don't know, Cosmo. First of all, I don't think we have any hatred of Thalia.
Careful, I think before we get in trouble, we need to, specify whether it's a he or a she because of all the shit that everybody's been fucking upset about.
Cosmo the Polititan politician. Okay, I will assume it's a girl because why would a guy care about hatred? Well, maybe. I don't know. Who fucking cares? Well, whatever your sex is, we don't even give a shit. Here's the real deal. We don't really hate Thalia. What we were saying in our episodes earlier is there are times when you go into a store and there are people that take the game too seriously. Are we saying that your love of the game isn't valid? No, sure it is. But, for instance, if you ride the subway and you don't take a shower in, I don't know, 2 weeks, and you have shit in your ass and you smell like garbage, and you get on the subway and a lady looks at you and says, "Oh my God, you smell! I'm gonna move further away." Don't yell at her and get upset. You asked for that. So if you come into a store in your fully dressed out shit.
No. If you come into a store smelling like shit in your sweats with a trash bag over your shoulder, walk into the bathroom and then put your Thalia costume on. Yeah. Like, you have fucked social issues. I'm going to not enjoy your presence whatsoever. And you know what? If you don't want to stick up for yourself or you don't want to shower, like, you know, fucking fuck off then. Like, I'm going to talk all this in the world to you right after I'm done punching you in the mouth for just being an awful human being. Like, you know what? Hey, say what you want. You know, think that I'm a dick. You know, I'm sure there are plenty of white knights out there that would have a blast with, like, Jordy Taint would probably have a blast.
Oh my God, he probably wrote this.
More than likely. This is probably dead serious. Actually, he's like, this is how I feel about my life.
He's using Jordy Taint language. Economically impoverished, overweight, socially challenged individuals. I believe he was saying poor fat bastards.
What it comes down to is if you don't like my opinion on the subject, why don't you jump up a few notches in the food chain so you can do something about it?
Well, there you go. I mean, I guess my opinion would be we don't really hate Thalia and we don't hate the cosplay community. We actually love the cosplay community. I think they're great. Yeah. I just think cosplay has its time and place.
Oh, no, I do that shit all the time. I run around my house dressed like Santa Claus, even when it's not the holidays.
There you go. Yeah. So, I mean, I think you just have to choose your place.
But you know what I do before that? I take a shower.
You know what? I will say to this, Cosmo the politician, please tweet us and tell me, are you fresh? Are you clean? Do you not stink? Because if you came in clean, I'll be honest, if Jace Mind Sculptor sat down next to me and he didn't smell bad and he played good magic and he beat me, I'd probably shake his hand and ask for his autograph. If he came and he smelled like shit and he gave me attitude and then he bitched at me for looking at him weird, I'd probably light him on fire. Because that's...
That's what we do. Well, then again, like, I mean, I think that there should be, like, I guess, to each their own, do what you want to do. But, like, if you want to get into the cosplay thing, I would think you should probably do, like, you know, dress up in costumes that you kind of at least fit the bill for.
Thanks.
Like, yeah, if you want to dress up like Thalia or Jace, you know,
try
having the build of that. Like, I mean, if you're not built like Jace,
Borborobius, Bobo the Titan, whatever.
What's a Hamlet back Goliath?
I mean, there's fucking... plenty. Magic is a diverse fantasy world.
Yes, and as much as people bitch, they're like, they draw all these fucking all the art is these women that are scantily clad and blah blah. Big
tits.
No, they do fucking goblins. Fucking trolls and shit. Like, they do all sorts of shit.
There,
like,
are some
just because you're unhappy about the fact that, like, you know, you don't look like Jace the Mind Sculptor, and you try to force yourself into a Jace the Mind Sculptor costume. No, you just fucking like dress up as fucking
right there.
Yeah, dress up as Thrun the Last Troll, and then you'll be set. I won't bitch about it. I'll be like, dude, he's got that shit down. He smells like a troll.
Exactly.
Fucking, he's got the shape of a troll. He looks like a troll. And I'd be like, you know what? Dude, right on. You got that shit down.
Exactly. See? So there you go. So there's a way to turn a negative into positive.
Adapt. Exactly. If you don't have time to shower, and you're obese, then fucking show up as Thrun. Don't show up as fucking Jace or Thalia.
Done. So there you go.
Yeah. See? Problem solved. We got two answers down.
Done. Next. We could do 100 of these an episode. All
right. That's right.
Here's the next one. I think this game is out of control with prices. I love how you are bringing light to the rapers, that are sharking the community.
No, hey, let me point out that rapers is in all caps.
Yeah, I thought it was rappers. Okay, rapers sharking the community. I'm about to quit this game if every deck you need to play costs $1,000. Signed, Freddy 234 Street.
See, answer number one. My EDH deck cost 5 tickets.
Yeah, but he didn't even ask a question, so I don't know what he wants. Okay, so I'll give my opinion on this. You're welcome for bringing light to the rapers of sharking. So shark rapers, I guess, is what we're bringing light to.
Shark
rapers. If you want to quit the game, I mean, okay, there's a lot of people that are going to jump on one side of this opinion, and they're going to say, it's an expensive game, shut the fuck up, and be happy with playing this expensive game. There's the other side that's going to say, you don't have to play this game for $1,000, and you can choose to play other formats, which is why they exist. Right, exactly. If you're Norbert. If you're Norbert, you just ask all your friends for their free cards, and you basically play for nothing. If you're like me...
I can't say that about Norbert. Norbert, that motherfucker's probably invested a lot of shit into this fucking... That motherfucker invested massive amounts of money...
Hold on. Norbert he's devilish. He's very... Okay, Norbert has everyone fooled, okay? You know those homeless guys that actually own a mansion, but they sit on the corner everything? I guarantee you, he's like, hey, man, can I have some free cards for my EDH deck? And I bet he's got, like, a 10,000 card collection, all right? I don't know about him.
You don't need that, do you? Like, I mean, I have this idea for it, and it's not worth very much. You should just... Come on, man. Let me have it. And you're just like, you know, you probably know more about this game than I do. I probably don't need it. You probably need it more than I do. Here you go, bud. And then he sells it.
He's sharking him on the side.
He makes his and then he makes his Ferrari payment.
Yeah, there you go.
God, Norbert's rich. just giving that shit. No, like, seriously, that's what I'm saying. Like, you got Norbert, who, like, he's always the one that's like, dude, fuck it. It don't matter. Like, he's like, you could build this deck so fucking cheap, it's not even funny. Like, this thing cost me fucking 3 tickets or 5 tickets or some random shit that was in my fucking binder anyway. And then you got Jay Boosh, who, you know, of course, is just like, just play the best cards. Shut the fuck up. Buy them. Play the best cards. If you can't afford the best cards, go play golf instead of Magic.
Yeah, and pay 10 times more. I mean, I think what he's getting at is he wants to play standard. So my opinion is I struggle with this too. Well, no, because, okay, so I don't like to be limited. So I'm not one of those players, as you can probably tell, that's just going to be like, I'm going to go play Pauper, and I'm going to spend $3, and I'm going to play a bunch of stupid-ass cards that I fucking hate that I guess I'm going to play. It is fun. Yeah, I play Pauper. It's okay. I played Commander.
I say that all the time, and I've never played Pauper before.
There you go. We're liars. But
No, I have never played
Pauper. You never played? I played it once, and I was like, it's okay. It's not something that I would, like, get crazy into. You, I don't know, but I want to play all the formats. That's the fun of the game, I think. If I was forced to just play one format, I'd get bored of it, to be all in all honest.
Oh, I totally get that. Like, I have to, like, bounce around a little bit.
Yeah. Now, okay, if you want to play standard and then you want to adapt every single weekend, dude, that does cost more than $1,000. It probably costs $4,000 a year to play. It's ridiculous, okay? You can't, if that's your goal, you're fucked. Because you either need to play as good as, like, Brian Kibler, or you have to literally shark the system where your goal is to get in, like, the Infect deck, and then you need to just play Infect. And just grind. And, yeah, but you need to grind out cues, right, to get your packs. that's not fun. That I never understood that. That's not really why I want to play Magic. So there, not every deck costs $1,000. Like, I'm playing Green White Humans. I don't think it's that expensive. If you cut the Sublime Angels, I think the deck is actually very cheap. I think it's like probably 90 tickets. So I don't know. I mean, yeah, if you want to play with Sphinx's Revelations and Thragtusk and fucking Jace Mind Sculptor, you're fucked, man. Yeah. You know, like, what are you doing?
That's the thing, too. Like, I get that. Like, I've found myself, like, I've kind of fallen into this, like, this space where, yeah, I'm learning to love draft so much more. But, I mean, you know, draft gets expensive, too. And standard, you know, like you said, standard is expensive as shit if you want to keep up with it. But, like, I love standard. Like, I love playing standard. Like, I don't want to play popper. Like, I like playing standard. That's what I'm into. And, yeah, it does cost fucking money. And I don't have a shit ton of money to fucking throw into cards all the time. And I don't have the money to fucking adapt with standard. You know.
But, you know,
I tried to. And that ends up costing you more fucking money. You're like, all right, sweet. I'm playing this deck this week, and it's kicking ass. And I spent a bunch of fucking money on it. And then, like, the next week, it's like, oh shit,
that deck's
now that out. Yeah, this deck's getting its ass whooped. What I need, you know, this zombies deck is getting its ass whooped. Now, what I need is Thragtusks. So then you sell off your fucking cards that are plummeting because there's always going to be somebody faster than you to the draw. Yep. You're like, oh shit, I got to sell these off. I'm going to buy Thragtusks. And then you're just like, oh man, that's falling off. Now I got to go back to zombies again. Oh, wait, shit, I had those cards a fucking month ago. Like, yeah, if you go back and forth like that, yeah, it's going to cost you a hell of a lot more than it costed everybody else.
Right. Like, so the idea is what you want to do is you want to pick a deck, right? So, like, when the sets all rotate, so, like, for instance, when Ravnica, when 213, I guess, came out, you should have been thinking at that time, what do I like to play? I was already thinking, I like to play a wedge. My wedge is going to be green, black, white. And that's kind of where I've focused a bit of my financial money, and I bought certain cards. Yes, maybe I dabbled in some blue here and there, but, I mean, I didn't invest in heavy black-red. Kevy did. So what we should have done, which maybe is something we'll talk about that we should really try to do, is you should try to stay in your wedge and then try to adapt as you can. So the challenge every week for you should be, how do I keep this deck on top of the metagame with minor changes, if I can? Sometimes maybe your deck just gets hated right out and you're fucked, right? And it's a big blue-white mirror. At that point, go play another format. Like, I'm sorry that, you know, go play you know, anything else. Play Commander for a bit. You got to take a break. So, I don't think...
No, and that's a big one, too. It's like, and that's what, like, my... Not that this really... helps the point much because, yeah, draft gets fucking expensive too. But that's exactly it. I got to a point where I was like, I can't keep up with fucking draft or with standard right now. I mean, shit's fucking expensive. That, you know, the cards that I need to do well, like, and to build the decks that I want to build, these are fucking expensive. You know, right now I just spent a bunch of money on this zombies deck I'm running, and it was kicking ass for a few, and now, like, it's just gone a whole different direction. It's not like, you know, it'd be one thing if, like, it got edged out by, like, a fucking, you know, a black green fucking deck and half the cards I could fucking keep and then just swap a few. No, I mean, it went the whole opposite end of the fucking color spectrum, and it was like this, you know, fucking green,
back,
white,
right?
And blue, and, you know, like, yeah, well, it did come back, but what I'm saying is, like, I got to a point where I was like, okay, I don't even want to fucking play standard right now, because it's fucking, I don't care about, like, I don't care to play fucking, you know, control decks, or I don't care to play, like, fucking mid-range decks, honestly, like, I just like playing aggro, and I like doing what I was doing, and I was like, I'm not into it right now. I don't want to get into relearning, like, a whole different style of play. You know, I don't want to get into doing that. Like, I'm bored with this right now. Or for whatever reason you might personally have. Like,
yeah.
Oh, I don't fucking feel like playing standard right now. Not into it. Go find another fucking form. I found draft, and I started drafting my ass off. But it would be just as easy to be like, oh, I'm going to spend 5 tickets once, or fuck, even spend your fucking 20 fucking whole $20 on a fucking EDH deck. And just go fucking play EDH games, or do that, or go popper, check that out. Fucking,
and,
you know, spend a ticket and a half on an entire deck, and
exactly.
Fucking and explore a whole new fucking format, and do that for a while. And then guess what happens? Fucking 2 weeks later, all of a sudden the black red zombies deck that you had that was kicking ass in standard before, all of a sudden is kicking ass in standard again, and jump back and play standards more.
Exactly. And here's the thing that you need to realize, and we touched on this earlier. You're playing this game as an investment for your entire card collection. So if you take the mindset of, I'm going to invest, I don't know, whatever in this deck, I'm going to play the standard season, then I'm going to sell the entire deck off for next standard season, then you've really done nothing.
Right. Right.
You have to understand that to play this game, if you want to play long term, right, and you want to be able to try different things every week, then you need to build your own card pool. Dude, you
that is exactly what I've really, like, that is the biggest lesson.
Don't
that
trade all your shit away all the time. You know, like, certain cards you can be smart with. Now, I'm learning this, and I will try to educate you as well as I learn. There are cards like, for instance, Crater of Behemoth. It peaked at 15. It's probably really good. I mean, I picked up 4 or 5 at, like, 2 tickets, and I'm selling them right now, and I'm probably going to get, like, 11 tickets apiece. Why am I doing that, Matt? You like green. I'm doing that because I'm going to get 40 fucking tickets for it, and good luck. When that, because I can tell you right now, that card will come when Ravnica rotates, will be a ticket, and I will buy a playset of them.
And you'll get them back, and you'll use them in, you know,
in whatever,
like, there's a whole different, like, I mean, this whole community has so many different aspects to it. Like, that's a whole different, you know, that's us, like, getting into the speculation side of things, which you have really done well lately. You know, me, I'm just learning about that. Like, my Crater Hooves, I bought because Medina told me fucking...
Medina. You
know, yeah, fucking Medina just happened to fucking spout off. He's like, oh, man. I remember I was listening to the fucking A-Team Commander game, and he's just like, oh, man, Crater Hoop Behemoth, that shit's going to go up. He's like, if that's fucking 3 tickets right now, or 2 tickets, whatever it was, he's like, fucking go pick that shit up. I was like, you know what? This guy's a fucking well-reputed fucking financial magic guy. You know, I was like, I'll give this a shot, because this isn't something that I give a shit about at all, because I don't fucking play green. Like,
but
sorry.
At least you understood that. And here's the thing. If you want to be greedy, then you jump in and you blow all your money on one deck. But you can get burned. If you play this game, if you take your time and be patient and don't rush into everything, listen, and don't just listen to us, please. Listen to everything you can get your hands on, because you'll get a very broad perspective of, and you'll get a feel for, what is the actual community saying? Because maybe one cast is telling you to pick up a card, but they may have financial reasons for telling you to. We have no reasons, even including logic, but we are trying to give you what we can. So if you hear everyone saying, hey, that Crater of card is kind of interesting, maybe you should pick it up. Maybe invest $6.
Especially because it's cheap as shit. And well, what it really comes down to also is, like, yeah, sometimes you're going to get burned. Like, sometimes you're going to buy, you know, it's going to happen. It's part of the game. Well, you know, it's a same shit happens in the stock market, but the huge difference between this game and the stock market,
you
is
know,
like,
well, you know more, well, about Magic than the stock market, trust
well,
me.
Well, yeah, well, there's that too, and it's a lot more contained environment, I guess. But the thing is like, if you're buying and selling shit on the stock market, it has nothing to do with anything but the numbers.
Yep.
You know, what this game is like fucking playing the stock market when it comes to that side of it, like the financial side of the game. It's like playing the stock market, but except for, like, something that you love anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so, you know, people have to realize it's not if you love this game, then the pain of losing the card.
It's like, you know, like, okay, I lost this, I gained that, but I love this fucking game anyway, and I love fucking doing this. I ended up with fucking 30 of this fucking card that is not doing shit for me. Like, it dropped in price. Like, I bought it for fucking, you know, 0.2 tickets, and now it's down to fucking 0.1. Jesus Christ, now I've got 30 of these fucking cards. You know what? Big fucking deal. You lost. But you still love this game, and you still have those laying around. You might be able to fucking float those to a friend. Yeah, you learn from it. And you know what?
Norbert.
Regardless. Exactly. Give them to Norbert. Well, or then fucking 4 or 5 sets later, all of a sudden a card's printed that makes that thing. Yeah. And you're like, oh, shit, I just made a fucking killing.
No, Norbert did, because you gave them all to him.
Yeah, that's right. Norbert made all the money because you gave him all. He's like, I actually needed 50 of those for my EDH deck. That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I know that's against the rules, but I needed 50 of those.
I mean, there's no real answer. The only answer is you should love this game. There's a lot going for it, and you just
if you don't love the fucking game enough to spend some money, like, you know, whether you're speculating and actually trying to make money on cards,
well, we hate you.
Or not.
Those people I've heard that, like, if that's your sole goal is to just buy in, buy out.
Oh no! I didn't mean it that way. What I'm saying is, like, whether you're doing the, like, you know, what we're doing, like, speculating here and there to try to get a little bit of an edge back and forth and, you know, to try to make our decks a little bit cheaper. Yeah, but it's because we're fucking playing these cards and we're building a collection. Like, you know, whether you're that guy or you're the guy that just wants to play some fucking Magic and not have to worry about the prices, you just want to play and have some fun, there's always a fucking format for you. As long as you love playing this fucking game like I do, then there's always a place for you. And it doesn't cost a grand a deck.
And, here's the last thing. If you've ever tried to trade cards with people in real life, they're kind of like, oh my god, don't wreck my sleeves and don't damage my cards. Well, I can lend you some cards digitally and you can't break them, so you can't lose them. So if you're nice and you build some friendships in the community, you'd be surprised. You could probably get some decks lent to you free. So there's another way, right? This game isn't a game, it's a community that you play in. I personally believe that the community and the people I play with is part of the game. So if you don't have any friends in the game, then you're probably bored. And that's why you probably feel like you're getting ripped off. Because if you are, like, alone in the community, yeah, it looks like, man, it's hard. You feel like an outsider, and everything's expensive, and everything you do is wrong, and the interface tells you you're an asshole, and you throw a mouse at it. I mean, it sucks, right? So you got to take your time. You got to earn your stripes. You got to build your connections. But once you do, it's like life, man. Like, these people are good. They're solid. You know, so.
Oh yeah, I've said it before. Like, the Magic community, like, is an amazing group of people. Like, you've got shitheads everywhere, no matter what. Like, no matter what community you're in, and you're always gonna have your fucking Jordy Tates. But, like, you can also, like, you
never, never getting him on the show. We keep.
Oh no, man! Like, if this guy ends up on the show, the only reason I want him on here is so that you can keep him busy, so I can find where he's at in real life.
He's gonna run a race.
Like, seriously, this is a great group of fucking people, like, this Magic community is, and, like, if, you know, like, you can't look at it like that, like, oh, man, fuck this, I'm out if it's gonna cost a grand for a fucking deck. Well, you know what, like,
then quit.
It doesn't cost
a grand for something.
It costs a couple tickets or a couple dollars for a deck if you really like this game and want to play, and if that's not your thing, if you're not into that, like, you just want to have the most expensive cards, but you don't want to pay for them, well, then
you better
get out of here, TSG.
Well, no, he would have the cards, and he wouldn't be bitching. This is the poor guy that he wants to be TSG, but he doesn't have the balls.
Yeah, no shit.
But anyways, so that's kind of we've really not answered anyone's questions, but our last question we will try to answer pretty badass. So this is the last one. I have seen so many asshole guys at my store rip kids off and trade them total jank for their dual lands and mythic rares. What do I do in this situation? Signed, Ready to Kill Sharks. Ready.
Had them on fire.
That's it. You just had fire, buddy. I mean, if you listen to some of the other casts in the community, like MPG Brainstorm, which is, like, one of my personal favorites, Tyrone is he's pretty much a Van Damme master, and his answer is he'll just Van Damme your ass.
Hell yeah, he'll Van Damme him.
And I kind of agree. If I saw that, I would absolutely do that. In fact, I have seen many a situation like this. In fact, I have many scumbag stories, and one of them would be I was at the store. This was back in my comic book collection days, but of course the store sold Magic cards as well.
Like back when Jesus used to walk the earth.
Yes, the apostles used to draw comics. So I was there one day, and I was picking up my books, and I think this was when Fifth Dawn or Mirrodin. I think it was Mirrodin. And I'd always, like, you know, buy a pack here or there, or, like, you know, I just look at the cards. I was very interested to see what was going on, and I would always ask, "What's the hot card? What's the cards going for?" And I remember, like, some of the cards, the swords were very expensive. Saw a kid bust a pack. Gets a Sword of Light and Shadow, I think. And immediately, man, fucking sharks are on him, right? These older fucking guys, like, just they just sit in the corner of the store the whole time, right? And, oh my God, what'd you get, kid? And so they run over and they're like, hey, man.
I can't wait to be that guy.
yeah, that's your life's goal.
Yeah, right? That's my goal.
So check this out. So they go over, right? And instantly, this kid, okay, the kid must have been like 9 years old. So I'm standing there and I'm watching, and then they're like, hey, man, you know what you should do? We'll give you this. We'll give you that. Here, look through my binder, right? So I'm like, all right. I'm just watching. And I think the card was like 15 or 20 bucks. I think it was up there. And so they start showing the kid dragons, right? Typical fucking jackass move, right? Here's a bunch of fucking dragons. And so they're like,
ooh, hey, this one looks pretty.
Yeah, exactly, right? So I think, and they were really, really janky shit ones. I can't remember what it was, but it was a bunch of junk. And the kid had like five cards, and he's like, "Oh man, I'm gonna so like do this." And I said to the kid, "I'm like, oh, before you do that, why don't you ask them what is the value of the card you have?" And the look on these two guys' faces are like, "You fucking ass." And I'm like, "Cause I think that card is worth probably $15. What do you guys think?" And the guys are like, right. Oh, well, I don't know about that. Blah, 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 blah. These cards, I mean, look, five cards for one. And I'm like, five cards for one. So you know what I did? I pulled $20 out of my wallet and I said, I'd give you $20 right now for this card. And the kid's like, $20? I'm like, yeah. And then I said to the guy, go ask the guy how much $20 buys out of his binder. And the guy's like, we're going to stop trading with you.
Oh, nice.
Takes the cards back, right? So I give the kid the 20 bucks, and he's like, here. And I go, keep the sword. It's yours. I go, but listen. I go, this game, you have to watch out. There's a lot of people in it that are going to try to take your shit. Right. I go, enjoy the game. But number one, what I would do is, and the owner of the store knew me really well, right? So I grabbed a copy of Duelist right off the shelf. And I go,
oh, okay.
Home. And I gave it to him, like, take it home, read it. And before you make any trades, be aware of what your cards are worth. If you choose to trade that sword for 10 dragons, that's fine. But just be aware of what you're doing. And the kid was just like, wow, man, thanks.
That's awesome.
Like, so the funny thing is, okay, so flash forward like 5 or 6 years. I saw this kid again, and he was like 16, 17 years old. And he's like, hey, man. And I'm like, who the fuck are you, right? Like, I saw him at a Tim Hortons or something. He's just talking to me. And I'm like, I don't remember. And he's like, dude, you totally saved me from those sharks that one day. I'm like, I did? I don't even know who you are, man. What's your name? And the guy.
That's awesome.
He's like, I still remember this to the day, man. He goes, you know what? I still have that card. I didn't sell it. I'm like, you have the dance card. He goes, yep. I have it. He goes, I sold all my other cards, but I kept that one. I'm like, it's worth actually.
Oh, dude, that's cool.
It. Yeah. So, I mean, you can't, in this community, I've realized if you shark everybody and screw them over, all you're doing is killing your local game scene. Like,
right.
You'll shark out all the people that want to play.
Yeah, but then, and that's the thing, too, is like, it's not going to take long. Like, yeah, granted, it sucks. Shit's always going to happen. Like, there's always going to be that time where you weren't there to save that kid from being sharp,
no,
which
right.
sucks. You know, and I mean, that's also where you learn your lessons, too. Like, I mean, you know, just like anything else in life, like, there's shitty people out there in the world.
Hey, man, and, I learned my lesson that the dirty Korean shop owner screwed me out.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, that's what I'm saying. It's like, you have to learn your fucking lessons in life, too, because, you know... Just like anything else in the world, I mean, it sucks. You don't want to let that kind of shit happen. And of course,
if you
know,
see it,
if you see that kind of shit happen, you know,
should intervene.
Of course, as a good fucking person, you'd intervene. You know, to some extent, you intervene. And if you're witty enough and light enough on your feet, or you just have brass knuckles, you end it well.
And then, hey, you get a free binder out of it, right? Hey, buddy.
Yeah, you got a free binder. But if you get a free binder out of it, you have to give it to the kid.
I mean, for half. Well, yeah, it's like half.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, you know, you're not always going to be there. And that's actually a good thing, too. There's not always going to be somebody there to save their ass, because that kid that fucking, you know, if that kid's always got somebody there saving their ass. And keeping fucking just the shitty fucking neckbeards.
Yeah, you know what the real lesson is, there may not be someone to save the kid, but if you see some jackasses doing that, you should ban them from the store, or you should.
No, yeah, exactly. What the real lesson is, you know, sometimes you're gonna have fucking one of us that would see that going down and be like, oh, you know what, fuck that, I'm gonna do something about it. Or hopefully one of our listeners that never really thought about getting involved.
Yeah, see?
And that will get involved now after hearing that and thinking about it and going, you know what, that's right, that's bullshit. But you know what? Inevitably there's always going to be somebody there that's going to fuck them over. And, you know, that's good in a sense, and it's bad in a sense. Of course, you know, you don't want to see a fucking little kid get fucked over. But then again, if you shelter a kid his whole fucking life, he's probably going to be carrying his fucking blanket to school when he's in high school.
Or so, or you know, he'll be Cosmopolitan asking us why we hate
him. Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's how it perpetuates itself. That's who turns into your Thalia fucking neckbeard. Because the guy that's fucking sharking the kid isn't necessarily doing it maliciously. It's just
he's not doing it maliciously.
No, it's because he grew up.
Oh, because he got sharked.
Yeah, he never got sharked before. He didn't think he was doing anything wrong. And so what you're doing is perpetuating it. Like, eventually the kid's got to get fucked in a trade so that he can, like, realize, like, oh, shit, I should probably watch out for these guys. But, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, what I'm saying is it's going to happen eventually, no matter what. So.
Okay.
If you see that kind of shit happening, then fucking death, dude. You know, as my man Tyrone says, just fucking Van Damme his ass.
Yeah, like, especially if it's a young kid, like, my rule is this. If I see this, if the kid is lower than my shoulder, you know, or he's lower than my elbow, then that kid gets, you know, both fists. Like, I'll protect him. And I don't care what anyone says. Like, you don't shark little kids. Like, I think what he's getting at, what I've seen, is that I've seen little kids, like young kids, get sharked by older kids. And that is, in my book, that's just unacceptable. Like, I don't know how many times I've just said, hey, what the fuck do you think you're doing? Like,
yeah, honestly, okay, this brings up a good
question. Wait, Now, if I see a kid who's like 14, 15, mm-hmm. getting sharked by a 30-year-old, I may give the guy like a wink and say, you better watch out. That guy's not fair. But I may not step in right away because I don't know what's going on.
Let's be honest. Like, if he's 15 years old and he's getting sharked by a 30-year-old, like that, the 15-year-old kid is, you know, just gone through puberty. He's pretty much in the fucking shape of his life. And the 30-year-old is drunk enough fucking, you know, in his life to start deteriorating his fucking physical condition. So, like, I'm pretty sure, like, if he gets away with it, he's probably not going to get away with it. Like, eventually the 15-year-old kid's going to be all like, hey, motherfucker, remember that time that you said... Tibble, the good planeswalker?
Yeah, you remember you told me that he was as good as Jace?
Yeah, you remember you and you said he just depends on what kind of deck you're playing. If you're into fucking red decks, then you should trade me this fucking Jace for this Tibble. Yeah, hey, nah, motherfucker. And then the 15-year-old kid who's now 16 fucking punches the 30-year-old one man in the mouth, and the 31-year-old man has to go home and explain to his wife and kids why he's bleeding out his face.
Why he got kicked is that?
In the prime of his life is just all, hey, I got a Tibble and a Jace. I'm going to wipe my ass with this Tibble.
Well, here, now let me tell you this. This is the funniest story of karma I've ever heard in my life. And this happened. I was there. It was the best. So this guy, a known shark, okay, he was in his 30s. I think he was like 35. And everyone knew to stay away from this fucking guy. Like, he was a dirty, scummy fucking bag. You know when his binder is greasy? Like, his binder is, like, got tar stains on it.
Cheeseburger on it?
Yeah, it was a cheeseburger, but he wasn't in the best shape either. But he was a scumbag, okay? So there was a kid, he was about 11 years old, and he was getting into magic, and, like, you'd see him once in a while in the store, and you'd be like, hey, what's up, man? Of course, you know, I was there on my way out, and I see him walking in, I see scumbag there, and I was leaving the store, right? So the next day, I come in, and I hear, oh, man, did you hear what happened? I'm like, no, what happened? He's like, oh, that the fucking scumbag guy, he totally ripped off this kid. And I'm like, what? And the kid is there, and he's telling me what happened. Apparently, he sold, like, half his collection to this guy, okay? And the guy gave him literally just uncommons and common junk. And the kid knew he was getting ripped off, but he was scared. He's an 11-year-old kid, and he's a 30-year-old man, right? And no one came to his defense, so he did the trade. And now... he can't find the guy to say, can I reverse that trade? You fucked me over, right? Because the guy bailed, right? He's gone. So the kid isn't stupid, which was really funny. Eh? And he's asking all the information. He's like, well, and he's not a mean kid. He's just a skinny little kid, right? And he's like, well, what is it? Does he come around on Wednesdays for comic day or whatever? And Rob, the owner of the store, he's like, yeah, you know, once in a while, I think I see him every second Friday. He picks up his comics as well. And the kid's like, oh, okay, okay. And then another guy there's like, oh, yeah, I think he rides his bike. Like, he rides a new yellow 10-speed. And he's like, okay, okay, okay. So, whatever. So two Fridays later, I'm in the store.
You raise them. What?
A 10 speed. Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? Whatever. The whole point is, this is the best, okay? So this comic book store is on a main street. The kid, okay, is waiting. Uh-huh. He's waiting around the corner. The loser guy comes in, and he's buying his books. And there's a big glass window in the store. While the fat loser guy is looking at his books, I'm looking at the window. The kid walks like tiptoe, ding 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 ding, like the Pink Panther, gets on the guy's bike and steals his bike and rode away. And I swear to God, I stood there with my jaw on the floor. I'm like, that motherfucking kid is brilliant. Stole the guy's bike. So the guy loses it, eh? Oh my God, what happened to my bike? He's freaking out. And I'm like, dude, I think there was I swear I saw this big tall guy, and yes, he looked like you wouldn't want to mess with him, man. Look, he had a gun. He was a crack addict. He had like white paste all over his mouth. And like, he's like, really? You think so? Oh man, I don't want to mess with that guy. So the kid stole the guy's bike, and I'm like, he got a $1,000 bike for like $100 of cards. I'm like, there you go, Sharks. Watch out, man.
Yeah, no shit. Watch yourself.
Watch those young kids, man.
No, I don't know. I get that. Like, there's always going to be those situations where, like, people are going to fuck over, you know, little kids. Like, they don't care. Like, we've got a bunch of shitty people in this community. Again, I will always say that this community is better than a lot of other social communities, you know, as far as a whole. But you're still going to have your bad fucking, your bad seeds. And the problem with this community is you can't really just shun them and get rid of them. Like, you know, there's a community, you know, the music industry and the music community, like, you know, like, you got a bunch of shitty people. Well, you know, you just don't fucking, you don't book shows with them anymore. Or, you know, you don't go to that venue anymore or whatever. But like, in this community, like, okay, you go to your local fucking game store and, you know, if there's a couple shitty guys around, like, those shitty guys are going to keep coming back and keep playing, because you know what? They go home.
Yeah, well, they buy cards from the guy. Like, the store owner isn't going to kick them out.
And they just think about fucking, like, for the next 3 months, they're like, the next pre-release, what I'm going to do to these little bastards. And it is what it is. Like, I haven't had to deal with it too much, because when I've seen, like, weird shit go down, like, I've got no problem with it, but then again, like, there's my appearance, my tone. I think
people try to shark you, dude. That's the thing.
Yeah, people don't try to shark me at all. But no, I'm not even talking about me. Like, you know, like, at our local store, as small as it is, you know, there's, like, fucking, you know, a good chunk of, like, 20 people that actually frequent the store. I've seen a few stragglers that, you know, come in and come out for different,
yeah,
you know,
the small community, so you shark a guy, he's going to get you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so you don't have to worry about that as much. You don't have to worry about that guy fucking sharking you and then going on and going back to his normal local game store, which is fucking six blocks away, that you've never even heard of before. Like, it's a small town. As far as that, like, I've never really had to deal with that much before. And when it does happen, when I see shit like that happen, like, you know, I'll just stand there. And you know, you see a guy trying to fucking get weird towards a kid, yeah. Number one, you're in a
mental. Hold on, no. If I see a guy trying to get weird towards a kid, I'm punching him straight out in the face.
Weird towards a kid. Anyway, you're gonna stand there. Hopefully, everybody would stand there and just be like, "Oh, hey, man, stop offering candy to this kid."
Okay, so if anyone offers candy to a kid in a comic book store, dude, I'm just going to punch you in the face. I'll drop kick you. You don't offer a kid candy. That's
just... I can't wait till the next episode when fucking Maddie tells a story about how, like, he got knocked out by the fucking...
or he got knocked out offering candy.
Yeah. No, Maddie knocks out the TO of the tournament because he actually happened to just get a shipment of Snickers bars in and was trying to help out.
He was left for Halloween again. He was just being nice to the kids.
Just being nice. You know, he's just like, he's like, man, I'm the TO. I don't give a shit. Gavin Metal said to punch you in the mouth.
And then I light him on fire and I'm like, oh, man, I didn't mean to do that. Well, you got to control yourself, people. You just can't do that. But
yeah, regardless of, like, hey, you know, I was listening today to fucking Marcel and Tyrone. you know, they were talking on fucking, I gotta give a shout out to that guy.
Shout him out, man.
Those guys, fucking, not even getting into shout outs yet, but, I gotta give them love. Like, I was listening to fucking MTG Brainstorm today, and, if you guys fucking, if you guys get a chance, jump on MTG Brainstorm, and he's also, his cast is on the MTG Cast Network. Tyrone, that motherfucker, I love him to death. The guy's awesome. And Marcel was on his cast today that I was listening, well, not today, but like the cast I was listening to.
And it was the smoothest cast.
It was the smoothest brothers on the fucking planet talking about magic. But anyway, like, you know, they got into that, and it, like, it is what it is. Like, fucking, you know, this game that we play, that we all fucking, you know, obviously, if you're listening to a podcast about magic, you love this fucking game. That, or you're like one of our girlfriends. You know,
there you go.
Right? You know, and you're being forced to, like, at gunpoint, to listen to our podcast and tell
laugh.
Us.
Laugh! Now laugh!
Yeah, laugh at the points where you're supposed to laugh!
Why didn't you laugh at that point?
But no, like, those guys put it down. They're like, you know what? This is the next fucking generation. These kids that we're fucking playing with at F&M or you know, or on Moto or whatever, like, you know, these young kids especially, like, dude, don't fuck with them, because for the love of fuck's sake, if any one of us that has a set of balls on us sees you fucking with a little kid because you're trying to fucking get that edge, you know, you're trying to get a fucking, you know, a Thrag Tusk a little bit cheaper than you could fucking get it on eBay, and you figure you could fuck this kid over for it, oh god, pray to Christ I don't see it happening, because, like, I'm not going to be as eloquent as most people will. Like, I am probably going to hit you in the back of the head with the chair I just pulled out from under you, and then, like, oh, what's gonna happen? The fuck, T.O.'s gonna kick me out? Like, big fucking deal. I'll just be waiting outside.
Yeah, I'll just be there, man.
I'll just be waiting outside, just grinning maniacally as your car's on fire. Like,
yeah. Or I'll be riding away on your bike.
Be nice to just churning, because these kids are, you know, they're the future of this fucking game. They're the ones that are going to be out there fucking, you know, chapening it up. I don't know how you put that into chapening.
Chapening it up, man.
Chapening it up. Those are the kids that are going to be out there fucking wrecking shop, you know, a couple of years down the road. And
what it is, man.
Yeah. A serious note from fucking Heavy Meta, don't fuck with the little kids, because we will find a way to fuck with you.
Damn right. And remember, you're getting older every day. So yeah. They're getting stronger.
Your recuperation period is going to be longer and longer and longer.
So the last one, Slick Jagger asks us a really short question. He's like, you think the game's growing too fast in the last couple of years? Because he's heard that we're saying that, you know, Mark Rotor has been quoted that Innistrad grew the game and Return of Ravnica grew it again. Nope, I don't think it hurts the game at all to grow. I think it's great, right? The more the game grows, the more players play the game. Hopefully, the more money Wizards gets, the more money they invest back into the game, which improves the game.
Right. Now, you could equate that to, like, the world economy, too.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like, population is exponentially growing, and then, like, the economy goes to shit, and yada, 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 which I'm not even getting into that one.
No, but
I don't think it's a bad, like, this is still a contained thing. Like, I don't think it's a bad thing at all. I think the more Magic players that we can have out there, the better. The more Magic players that we can have, like, the more diverse Magic players we can have out there. Like, you know, it is what it is. Like, I quit playing this fucking game when I was in junior high because it was just a dinky little fucking game that, like, you know, I kind of had fun playing with. But then guess what? I realized that, like, oh, man, fucking girls don't like this. Everybody makes fun of me. This is stupid. I'm going to go learn how to play guitar, which was a good decision for me. But but then, like, you know, it grew from that. Like, you know, this game is fucking just blown up since, you know, and then when I got back into it, I'm like, holy shit. You know, like I said earlier, this thing is fucking huge. There's this whole community out there, and there's fucking tournaments where you can win shit tons of money for just being good at fucking playing Magic. And the more we grow this fucking community, then all of a sudden you go from, like poker did, you know, you go from being a...
It's mainstream, right?
You go from being a shitty gambling habit, or, you know, having a shitty gambling habit to being a professional.
But no,
that's in the opinion of the masses and whatnot. And
well, I think
more people, like, what it really comes down to, the more people that fucking play Magic, the more people you're going to have to play Magic with. with.
Right. I think, though, what he's getting at is the more people that play the game, the less card pool availability is for, like, older formats. And my opinion of that is, yeah, if more people want to play Legacy, then, you know, Duel Lands will be $500 a piece and no one will play the game but very rich fucking crazy people. Like, and if that's what happens, then that's fine. I'm perfectly, like, a lot of people don't get this. I am perfectly fine with a life cycle of a format. So,
right.
Modern, standard, whatever. They all have life cycles. Standard's life cycle is 16 months. Modern's life cycle has just been invented, but it will eventually turn into Legacy like Legacy turned into Vintage. Vintage is dead, all but dead. If you have the cards, you play it. If you don't have the cards, you don't play that format, period. Because you just don't have the money. And if you do have the money, then you play whatever format you want. But not everyone does. So the more people enter this game, the higher those prices will be. So here's a word of wisdom. Get into Modern now, because if you plan on playing this game for a long time, Modern will be like Legacy is now, and most right. cards in Modern, if people keep coming to the game, are going to go up and up. And that's why Modern Masters is being released. Now, maybe Wizards is finally learning that they fucked up with the reverse list. I wish it was reverse list. The reserve
reverse list.
The reserve list. And they caused that isolation problem with growth. So they don't have that moving forward. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's that much of a problem. If we get to a point, and I can guarantee you this, if we get to a point where there's so many people playing the game, that you're going to make the argument that Mythic Rares will be $100. And I'll counter that and say, no, because Wizards of the Coast isn't stupid. And if more people are playing, that means they can sell more products. So, for instance, let's say there's 1 million units. Not that there is. I'm just using a number. But let's say there's 1 million units of Return to Ravnica. Well, if, you know, 100% more people are playing the game, they're going to print 2 million
units. Yeah, exactly.
And like, so you're still going to get the cards. So don't worry.
Yeah, I don't see like card pool being an issue with like the game growing, because you know we've seen like, you know, as much, you know, there's been mistakes by Wizards, obviously.
Of course.
Like we've done our best to point those out.
That's what this counts for. Yeah. To point out those.
But like I will give, like, as a whole, I will give Wizards, like, they've done a hell of a good job of adapting and rolling with the punches and doing what needs to be done.
Name any other game that's 20 years old that has changed and adapted and gotten better.
Right. And it is still keeping it, like, I mean, and that's the whole the purpose for different formats. Like, you know, you've got an Eternal format, like, you know, they keep adding on to it, and it's just this ridiculous, incredibly huge card pool. Or you got Standard that rotates and rotates and rotates, where, you know, like, everything is fresh all the time. You know, it's like every time it rotates, it's fresh all the time.
You crack whatever you want it.
Exactly. And they still have found a way to, like, okay, look at, you know, this game in its infancy, like, what it was. Like, I mean, yeah, it was a really good game. Like, it was a really well thought out game. But I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of fucking genius you are. You can't think that far ahead and plan on this still being an evolving fucking game.
I'm surprised it's still here.
How this many years down the road. And that all the credit for that goes to Wizards. That's like, as much as we bitch and whine, that's what they do, is keep this thing fresh.
Now
keep this thing going
now, listen,
and keep adapting the whole fucking time. And now, I don't care if for the next fucking 5 sets, the player base doubled every single set that came out. Do you really think Wizards is going to be like, oh God, we can't handle it, and fucking just fold? No, they're going to fucking adapt.
And they're going to expand.
Exactly.
Now, here's the thing he might be touching on. Earlier on...
end of my dick?
Yeah, exactly. Now, earlier on, Twitter was talking about the fact that, what is the cap on tournaments? So if you touch on the whole tournament scene, that, let's say, like, Modern Masters, when we go to that, which probably is going to be the biggest event to date, let's say there's 4,000, 5,000 people show up. What happens then? And the answer is, well, that's going to be a fucking big mess, right? Like, you know, do I want to play 24 rounds of Magic? No. So that is an issue where, yeah, I guess the growth of tournaments need to be handled maybe in different pools, pool A, pool B, and you run 2-day ones. Or, you know, but those are all easily fixed. So I don't think that's an issue either.
I don't think so, because look at when, and I don't know too much about this. Like, I don't know the specifics of this because I wasn't around back then. But, like, when they first started running, like, you know, before, like, after Magic became a, you know, got out of its infancy and was just a game that people played in comic book shops, And then they actually started getting into like having tournaments and professional tournaments and started a pro tour. And you look at like the size of those tournaments. Do you think that like at that time they're like, oh, well, could we handle the amount that we had? Like, was it GP, what, Philly just recently? I think it was that they were talking about was like the. Yeah, it, like, I don't even remember how many people were there. But they're like, everybody was like, oh man, it was like the biggest fucking tournament. Like, yeah. Well, do you think the people way, way, way back in the day thought that you could be able to have a Magic tournament that big? No. People have found a way along the way to make this work.
And don't and, remember, just this year, remember people were bitching that they doubled the number of GPs. So, and look, it's running fine. So, I don't know. I mean, I think there's. The more people play the game, the better it is, and that's just it. More people make money. More tournament organizers get to host more events. And hey, if I'm a player and there's somewhere to play every weekend that's within driving distance, what's wrong with that? I don't know. I don't see any downside to the game growing at all. The only downside I can envision is if Wizards of the Coast expanded too quickly and it was under bad management and they made stupid calls. But I really don't think the current management that is handling things would do that. I mean, they seem to be very cautious. They're actually more cautious than
they
I would prefer them. Well,
they're doing a good job so far. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, we can definitely.
You know, I can't find anything to yell at them about that.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, they make bad decisions, but I mean, that's one of the things that you guys, you listeners, and even the two of us have to understand. Like, they make bad decisions, and we can fucking rag on them all we want about that. But the reason we all still play this game is because they've done a pretty fucking good job as a whole. Like, you know, yeah, they might fuck up with Modern Masters, but, like, they've still kept this thing afloat the whole time. Like, them and then us as a community have kept this thing afloat the whole time and kept it going.
Yeah, so our answer is you're wrong. We don't find anything wrong with it. We love it.
Yeah, wrong.
And that brings to a close the Q&A segment. Mm. Sweet. All right, so is there anything that you need to speak of, sir?
What am I talking about?
All right, well, I'll talk about something awesome, because I got to shout this guy out. So check this out. So, of course, everyone knows I've been talking about the Guild Wars, the real-life Guild Wars, the cardboard Guild Wars that I've been putting together. So I picked up a holiday box. Which was awesome. Got a good buddy of mine that gave me one. And I'm using it to hold all my Guild Wars cards. I got almost all the cards. And I want to put it in a nice box. You know, I want to have it cool so that when people come over, I can put the guilds out. And I was looking at getting the sleeves for each of the guilds. But it kind of worked out to like $120. And I was like, yeah, that's a little too much money for me. And I don't really want to spend it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, well, no, so check out how awesome this community is. So... a couple days ago, at my door is a box, and I'm like, what the fuck? I open it up, and it's two packs of every guild. And I'm like,
are you serious?
Now, check this out, dude. And there's a note. And the note says, I love what you're doing with Guild Wars. I just wanted to make sure that if I could contribute in any way I could, but please don't mention my name. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not going to mention the guy's name because he wants to be anonymous, but I'm like, dude, thank you. Like, that is... unbelievable. So I sleeved the whole thing up, and I'm just like, holy
damn, dude, that's fucking red.
Yeah, does it look? It is so amazing. So I celebrated. I got three of my buddies that haven't played in a shit ton of time. Okay, and commonplace when they've come over before, I've built decks, and maybe I've built underpowered decks or decks with no removal, and the games weren't very good. But I'm like, this is what I built Guild Wars for. The whole reason is to like test people who don't play, like casual guys, you know. So yeah. The girlfriends or the wives came over, and then our buddies, we cracked Guild Wars and played for 4.5 hours straight.
Are you serious?
Dude, we went through a couple bottles of wine, some beers, and it was the most fun. Like these guys were just telling me, they're like, I've never seen Magic this fun. The number one, they were just blown away by the art, the sleeves. Like, they just, they're like, this is like a fucking... it's like a built game. Like, you just pick your deck, and we're rolling dice for like what deck we get, and then we'd battle. And so it was 2-1, 2-1, 2, and then you'd battle the last guy, and then we'd start all over again. Every time Guild Feud hit the table, the whole place went mental. Even the wise, okay? Like, they're like, what's going on? And I'm like, Guild Feud, boom. And then now it's a mini game, because if you know how Guild Feud works, right, you flip three cards, and if there's a creature, they fight. And so we're like, oh my god, boom, 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 oh, I got a dragon, and then it's like, no, you don't, bam, bam. It was the most fun I've ever had. So
it's almost like in Guild Wars, it's almost like every guild needs a Guild Feud card. and then you've got a flat out fucking, like, just a flat out, like, board game.
No, check this out. So one of my buddies, he came up with this idea. Because just so Wizards understands, I just sold thousands of dollars of future product to these people on this.
Yeah.
Because they were so blowing away. I can guarantee you their wives were like, hey, motherfucker, you know what you've just done? I'm like, yep, I do. He's going to be going to the comic store tomorrow morning, right?
Yep. So he's like, oh, I got to play Magic.
Yeah, exactly. But he, this is what we did. I was like, okay. He's like, Guild Ward is such a cool card. He goes, what would happen if you just turned it face down, right? And you just play normal Magic. And then you roll a dice every turn. And if it's an odd number, Guild Feud flips. And I'm like, that's crazy. Like, I gotta try that, because
that's like a whole new format. Like,
it is just so much fun. But side note is,
it's like Plane Chase. It's like everything's just chaotic, and it just comes off the die roll.
But it's not as crazy as Plane Chase. Like, Plane Chase is hard to keep. Like, I have Plane Chase, and I've only played it with one person. And the problem is, unless you really are good at Magic, there's so much to keep track of when those cards start flipping. That
oh yeah, absolutely. No, that's what I mean. It's like, it's like easy version of Plane Chase. It still has like the same idea behind it. That's fucking awesome.
But it was actually, it was amazing. So I just want to shout out Marcel, who created Guild Wars. It's amazing, and hopefully me and Marcel, we're going to be doing some streaming of Guild Wars during the holiday break, and we're going to do some battles, and maybe we'll get a couple of people on board, Kevy and some other people, Ben Clinton maybe, if he wants to come in, and Boost Killer and that, and we'll do an 8-man or a 4-man Guild Wars tournament.
We need to do that, because I like we need to get everybody into that.
100% we'll do it, and just check out Brewski Bistro is Marcel's streaming channel, which is going to be
going. Oh, yeah.
And I think I hope more people do it. You can check out the Mana Deprived article on the Guild Wars Primer to download the zip file. And if you got some of the Ravnica cards, man, please, like, we'd love to see you on. It is so much fun. Like when I was playing, everyone said the same thing. They're like, I don't feel like there's a deck that is beating everyone. And it's just more about, like, how things happened. And so no one cared, like, what deck they got. Like, actually, I don't think anyone ever gave a shit what deck they were playing. They were just like, oh, my God, I get to play the Golgari now. Or, oh, man, who's these Azorius guys? It was just, like, the whole package with the sleeves on it and everything. And it was so, like, it was so high-end. It looked so good. And it,
that's
like,
awesome.
When I pulled them out of the packs, you know, like, out of the box. And I'm like, da-da. And they're like, what is that? I'm like, this is Guild Wars. So I cannot wait. Like,
your own, like, whole set.
Well, when all 10 guilds, dude, when all 10 guilds are there, I'm bringing that thing to Vegas. And if it isn't the most fun Magic that we've ever played,
Vegas,
then you can just keep the fucking cards. Because I guarantee you.
I guarantee you it's going to get awful.
Well, it'll be almost like Booze Cube Guild Wars.
we'll have to play that before we get hammered.
Yeah, you got to enjoy it, because it's...
you have to enjoy it, and you have to be comprehensible.
What's really cool is, if we had 10 guilds, and we got 10 decks, what we can do is we have 10 people sit down at a table, and we play rapid fire. So it's just a best of three. So you battle this guy, and if you win, you stay at the table, and the next person comes in. And it's kind of like Guild Champion. Which guild will get to the top? You know, and if you defeat five of the guilds, you win, and then that round is closed. But it was fascinating.
And since we're in the spirit of being in Vegas, like the other people that are in the house besides the 10 people, we just set up like your March Madness fucking bracket board for the guilds, and then people can start betting on them.
Oh my god, dude, that's amazing. Actually, you know what would be awesome? You have to put $10 in every round. And if you win, you have to put it back in the pool.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Like, we've got like a whole gambling system set up. Like, Maddie,
it's
we're
gonna be ridiculous, dude.
It's gonna take fucking 6 months for you to go bankrupt and me to wind up fucking ass up in a gutter somewhere.
We have to start charging for this house. This is gonna be too crazy. But yeah, so I mean, the Guild Wars thing is pretty awesome. I have never played any other Magic product that I think has been this good. So, whoever built that shit.
And we have to, real quick, at least give our listeners like a quick rundown, like the very basics of it, because I know we've brought
up a
few times before, and like I feel like we've been fucking saying it, but we haven't been able to. Like we said, we were going to do an episode dedicated to Guild Wars, but we got to give them a rundown at least.
Okay, so first of all, you have to go to manadeprived.com. Guild Wars Prime. You have to do that. But I will give you the overview. So Guild Wars is essentially, the idea came about, you buy a box of Ravnica or, you know, what do you do with all the other cards? And the idea is you build decks that you can play with. So it's one of every, so we'll take one guild. Let's take Azorius. What you do is you pick one of every card that's marked Azorius, put it in a pile. Then you take one of every blue card and one of every white card. That and these have to be the unmarked cards. Those go in. You take one of every one of your multicolored cards that are obviously Azorius cards. They go in, and then you will take four of Gilgates, four of your on-color Shockland, and I think it's about seven. No, it's about 14 of each color land. And that's your base. Now, if you want to add one of the random artifacts, you can. Oh, and your key rune. And that, essentially, you end up with a 100-plus card deck. You can tune, and I've already started tuning certain cards. Like, for instance, the Sphinx. It's just a big blue flyer because its ability really never triggers. And Search the City is just a confusing card in Guild Wars because it doesn't really do anything. So there are certain cards you're going to want to just pull out because you don't. They don't really mean anything, but essentially that's what you do. And so you
build. It's kind of like you know any other set that you fuck with.
Yeah. It's like think of it like this. It's like EDH because it's singleton, but for that block. It's like block.
Yeah, it's like EDH with a lot more flavor to it.
Yeah, and it wouldn't work. Like for instance, I know a couple people said, "Well, what about with Innistrad vampires versus humans or zombies?" And I'm like, I'm willing to try it, but I think it's just it works right now because Ravnica is built that way with guilds. So
if you did that with Innistrad, you did werewolf versus you know like
it could work.
It might work, but it's so like
it probably
is way less fun. Like there's so much more of a broad because they did a good job of making these things. Now, yeah, when you're talking like tournament decks and shit like that,
that
you know your guilds and stuff don't really matter as much. But like with this, with it being guild based and the way that Wizards does shit with their flavor, you have this like they balanced out the guilds. Like there might be an overpowered card. You know, there might be this card, this is the best card in the fucking set. But, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, this might be the best card in the set, or this might be the best card in the set, or, you know, somewhere along those lines. But the guilds themselves are so balanced.
They are. The like, only thing that, they, now, there's only one, there is one thing that isn't balanced, and it's the Planeswalkers. So if you are going to do this, I do suggest that maybe when all 10 guilds are out, that there's more of a balance between all 10 guilds with which walkers are in what, but it's very clear that if you are skilled at the game, the Azorius Guild is I mean, it's pretty hard to beat Jace. That card is that's the one card I would almost say just pull Jace out.
Well, I would say with Guild Wars, I would just pull the Planeswalkers out.
No. Because Vraska is part of the guild. Like to me, Vraska is the flavor of Golgari.
Yeah, that's true.
What makes her so, like what we found playing was like, Rakdos is scary because you don't know what the fuck kind of crazy shit's coming at you, right? And Azorius is, you're like scared because they're flying over you, they're arresting you every turn, and it's like, how am I going to get through this fucking wall they got? And then Izzet is just like, I don't know what, something is going to blow the board up every turn, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then Selesnya is scary because you can't let them go if you just.
Yeah, they're going to populate all over the place and you're fucked.
And so there's a tension. So it's really interesting, and in all honesty, I mean, we found that Jace hit a few times, but he never took over the game. So maybe leave him in, you know, and Vraska.
Yeah, well, and that's another thing too with like with Jace is as good as Jace is in like, you know, like standard format or like when you have one of him.
Yes, exactly.
It's not as big of a
and deal. How many times you can hit him. And the funny thing is everyone thought, you know, even I thought, I'm like, well, shit, Vraska's going to hit and whoever lands it wins that game. The truth is Vraska never won a single game when it hit.
Yeah, well, because I mean, you think about it, like, you know, Vraska, like, well, that's the thing is Planeswalkers in a one of – like you're talking singleton decks, like
in 100 card too.
Yeah, in a one of, if you do hit him, the chances are somebody's gonna kill it. They're gonna find a real quick way to fucking kill it. Like, yep. I mean, the guy that's played, like that's got the guy that's been holding a burn spell is gonna knock it down. And
I don't know. Like it was weird because it's actually funny that the guilds. You get into these, they're not stalls, but they're just like, I don't know what to do, because the tension is, like, insane, right? Like,
Rakdos is the only deck.
Like, if you're playing Rakdos, you better not be sitting still, because you have to attack, right?
Yeah, you gotta, that's part of it, too, though. Like, that's the theme of the guild. Now, you know, like.
Now, check this out. Now, I'm a huge flavor fanatic, okay? So, what I love that is, the look on the guys' faces when they landed Vraska. We're like, oh my god! It's like mission unlocked, you know? And when it would land,
right,
they were excited as shit to see what happens. In fact, most of the cards, when you drop them, even the guild leaders, it's so cool to be like, holy shit, what do I do? And it feels like you're piloting a guild. It doesn't feel like you're piloting a mess of cards that you don't know what they're doing. And trust me, these guys, they haven't played in a while, okay? So I was a little worried right. that the mechanics, they wouldn't catch on. Dude, they were on shit like butter on toast, man. They were like, okay, I get it, Golgari does this. And since you're in a guild and you're only dealing with that one mechanic, once right. you get it, they got it. And then once you play against that mechanic, next time you play that deck, you know what it did to you. You know what to
exactly.
do.
Exactly. You know what's going on.
It was fantastic. So, I mean, I'm very, very... I love it, man. I think it's one of those things that if you invested in it, the cost of just keeping it on your shelf for when you wanted to play casually, boom. You know, like, I'm putting together a cube. I don't even know who I'm going to play this cube with because cards in this cube that I find confusing, I don't know how I'm going to explain it. What does this card do? Well, it's a textless, cryptless, cryptic command. I don't even know what it does. I don't remember all the modes.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't remember what the modes are. Yeah.
Like, so it's interesting that maybe it's one of those things that just, it's the casual game. You know, maybe you don't play it every weekend, but it's kind of cool to have.
Well, yeah, that's exactly, you know, Daniel and I, we'll get together all the time. We'll, you know, on the weekends, we'll play Booze Cube, we'll do our thing. You know, we'll just play our decks against you because we're like, oh man, I want to get into some serious Magic. We've been playing Booze Cube way too much, not remembering shit. But like, just as an example, like the basic example of that is I bought the Izzet versus Golgari dual decks when it came out. I was like, you know, and that's like the first dual deck set I've ever bought. But I was like, I don't know. You know what? I'm going to buy one just to kind of check it out. And like we still play that shit. Like every time we get together, we're like, hey, let's throw a game down real quick. You know, I'll play the Golgari deck. You play the fucking Izzet deck. That's just more his thing. I'm more the fucking Golgari thing, and so we'll play a game through with those decks, and we have a blast doing it. And then we'll get into playing our own decks, or we'll be like, all right, well, let's start playing some Booze Cube. Let's get fucked up. But like, we do that, and it has that theme quality to it, that little bit of fucking flavor that, like, even if you're not into like the flavor of Magic,
yeah, but it's
like,
different. It's one of those things.
Exactly.
You know? You can
That's
keep
what I'm
it
saying.
On the shelf.
Like,
it's not
standard. Exactly. It doesn't, you know, it's a whole different little fucking format, but it focuses so much on the flavor of the guilds, which is where we're at right now. Like, you know, we've got these guilds going on, and we've got these guilds going on for a while. And like, it's so much, like, at least to me, like, I don't give a fuck what anybody else says. Like, you know, I've gotten more into the competitive side of Magic, but I still care, you know, like, the guild flavor thing, I'm like, oh man, that's awesome. Like, I'm Golgari right now. Like, just like I said, playing those dual decks, I'm like, I'm Golgari right now. This is where I'm at. And you know, you have fun with it.
And dude, one of the funnest things I've seen, Supersonic Dragon was landed against me, and it just shit went mental. Like, I thought I was winning a game. Guy lands Supersonic Dragon, which lets you cast instances sorceries or sorceries and entrance. And, I mean, dude is dropping shit on me. I'm like, oh, I didn't see that. I didn't see that. Oh, I didn't see any of this. Like, and it was amazing. Like, it just took over the game, and it was cool. And, I mean, it was just so many interactions that... this guy said earlier in his question, the game is expensive. So here's a way to buy your standard cards in a box, and instead of throwing away 90% of that box, sort of letting it mold up in your closet, fucking build a Guild Wars deck. So, I mean, that's what I want to say. I mean, I know the show's getting a little long, but try it out, man. I don't think you'll be disappointed by Guild Wars. I know I haven't been, and I think it's been fun as shit, man.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I can't wait for Vegas.
Well, I'm hooking you up for Christmas. I'm going to hook you up with some online tickets. I'm going to get you one of every card on Return of Ravnica so we can play Guild Wars. I'll loan them to
you. I'm completely going to just like fuck everybody else over. Like, I don't care. I'm not playing any real Magic anymore. You guys could, well, not that I'm really playing much real Magic lately.
That's
anyway.
The scary thing, because you're like, I don't need to buy Magic no more.
And Wizards is like, no, shut it down.
Well, maybe that's why I'm getting so much blowback, because I'm like, why weren't they jumping? Why doesn't anyone want to respond to me about this Guild Wars format? It's like perfectly built for their product. Like,
yeah, it's because you lead off with, you don't have to buy Magic cards anymore. Once you have these decks, you're set.
I could just see the guy, like the head seller, he's like, so let me get this straight. You're saying you buy a box of cards and that's all you need? Yeah, we don't like this. This isn't working.
Yeah, we don't like you
actually,
anymore.
Can we sue you? What's your name again? So let's move on to shoutouts, because man, I got a ton of shoutouts. So I will start them off.
Start off.
I know, so I'm gonna start off. So I'm gonna shout out to Anonymous, who sent me those Guild Wars sleeves. Dude, I'm gonna honor you. I'm not gonna say your name, but you're amazing. Thank you. That's shit, fucking awesome, man. If I can do anything for you, you let me know. It's done. Gotta thank MTG Cast, man. Heavy Meta is now on MTG Cast. Yes.
So, shit coming up in the world.
I know, man. Ortwell, Chewy, everybody over there. Dude, thank you. I know you're getting a lot of shit from people saying, where's my cast? It's not posted. And, you know, I know you guys pay for the server. I know it takes time. We appreciate it. We thank you.
On that, fucking donate. Cast, donate to MTG Cast, because you know what? Like, I guarantee you, if you're listening to this cast, then you probably listen to other casts too. Because unless you're one of our girlfriends at gunpoint, you are listening to this because you listen to other casts, whatever. And you know what? MTG Cast is one of those things that, like, hey, that's how I got into this side of shit.
So let's help them out, right?
Part of, and all of the donations that they go back to this. That, like, you know,
this isn't
fucking Otwell just, you know, like raking money in or anything. Like, this motherfucker has to handle all this shit, and it costs money. And so, you know, if you donate a fucking dollar, I don't give a shit. Donate to him.
Yeah, exactly. And I will. Kevin hit it on the head, man. Please, like, we don't see a dime. Like, the day we actually start seeing money, you'll probably hear us talk about something. But we don't make any money. We do this for you.
That we start seeing money is when we're gonna stop fucking podcasting.
Cast over, man.
Hey, we're other shit instead. We're with money.
But no, seriously, $5, $2, I don't care what it is. If you can, help those guys out. I will personally be donating, because shit, they host my fucking cast. Like, it's awesome. Like, we really appreciate it. Thank you guys. You guys rock. Gotta shout out Marcel and Tyrone, dude. MTGBrainstorm.com. If you're not listening to this cast, I'm telling you right now, please, if you like how we do shit, imagine if we did a hip hop completely 100% opposite to the energy we have, but mellow as shit, but even cooler than us.
More awesome.
Yeah, way more awesome. Like 2,000% more awesome than us is his cast. He is the bomb. Love him. Listen to it every episode.
Tyrone, fucking, I love you, man.
Yeah, shit, awesome. You should be listening to it if you're not. The proxy guy.
These are like joint shout-outs right now.
We're doing, this is how we do it, man. if you haven't understood that we interrupt each other, then you don't know what you're doing.
I'm going to go ahead and do my own shout-outs after.
You're going to interrupt him. That's okay.
And then Maddie's going to interrupt those.
So the proxy guy, I asked him today on Twitter, and if you go check his site out, new Black Lotus artwork came up, and I was like, oh, man, can I see that in the text list, or not text list, bordered format, where he blows the borders away and it's like full frame and it's just so gorgeous. I'm like, oh my God, it's so beautiful. So that guy is amazing. He's an artist and he's probably the most professional guy I've ever talked to. Man, he's awesome. I can't wait to see the work he does. I know it's going to blow my fucking mind. So
that I saw that Black Lotus like mock-up today, and I shit myself.
Can you imagine? Like, I just want that. Like, I'm gonna literally just print that out, just put it on my wall. It looks that good. Like, just I can't
blow it up, make a poster out of it.
Which, a side note, is Wizards, dude. You've got all this artwork. Why on earth? And maybe we'll talk about this next cast. Because I gotta have a hook for you.
Yeah, there you go. Hook him in.
but I mean the art. Like, why doesn't Wizard do a borderless card? Like, if you just go check out the Proxy Guy or Z's Proxy Factory, check out his site and check out his borderless cards. The designs for Planeswalkers look phenomenal. Phenomenal. Like, it's so much better looking than normal Planeswalker cards or any card that he does full art like that. Wizards, Trick, Worth, Marrow, anybody, guys, who do I talk to over there? Please, someone have a look at this and think about it.
Somebody, anybody.
Just, please, otherwise I'm proxying every card I own, because everything looks so much better full boarded. It's just fantastic. So those are my shoutouts. Now I can interrupt yours.
Oh, man. Shit. Well, no, I have to give, again, a huge fucking shout out to Marcel and Tyrone for all the love we got from your last fucking cast. Now, of course, fucking, Tyrone does MTG Brainstorm. Fucking Marcel was just guesting on that shit. Like, he just showed up to hang out, and I gotta give him, like, fucking mad love for what he does, too. Like, Brainstorm Brewery.
Yes, that show. Hey, by the way, sorry to interrupt you, but that's what we do.
Fucking apologize for interrupting. That just takes away all the fucking flavor of it.
If you want, because we're not the best at financial, but if you want the best financial podcast for free that's out there, Brainstorm Brewery. Check it out, man.
I wouldn't say we're the best. I would say we are the podcast that has no idea what we're talking about. And we just yell dollar signs at you. Like,
I buy that for a dollar.
Telling you, dog. I'm telling you, Ghoul Callers Bella, buy it. It's going to get expensive.
Dude, like, could you imagine that with zombies?
Don't
buy that card.
I don't even think that's comprehensible. Like, it's gonna come up. Like, there's gonna be a deck with something else, and it's gonna come up, and then fucking, you're gonna make so much money. No, we are not good at this at all.
But we're trying. We're trying.
Go to Brainstorm Brewery if you actually want real financial advice, or fuck it, I'll give Medina a shout out. That's one of my shout outs. I'm gonna give John Medina a shout out.
Check him out, man.
Because that motherfucker apparently has made a name for himself as a financial guy in the Magic community.
He's making money. He's doing something right.
Dollar bills, y'all?
Yeah. Hey, man. He told you about Creator Hub 3 months before it broke, so.
I used to hate that guy so much.
Hey, you can't see anything bad about him. He was right.
So much, and then the only reason I like you, Medina, is because you made money.
I thought it was because he gave you Gravecrawlers.
He didn't give me shit. He sold me Gravecrawlers. That he
fuck
a lot cheaper. But I started realizing how much shit I talk about the guy, and I was like, he's not even that bad of a guy. And I found out that the guy fucking grew up like fucking an hour away from me. Like,
and see, that's why he's so damaged.
Yep. Exactly. Right, he's from the desert of California, and you can't help but be fucked up and damaged when you live here.
It explains so much.
Yeah, it does. It does a lot. Like, but don't you ever, ever, ever compare me to Medina.
No, never. I will never do that. It would be the end of me. Now, you got a shout-out, too, because apparently you had some crazy-ass weekends. So there must be shout-outs.
God, is there, like, do we have
to... Do you remember any of it?
Yeah, well... I mean, I do remember chunks of it, but I feel like this is going to get long.
Well, save it for the next episode, then. We got you again, motherfuckers. You know what we should do? We should just do a whole episode where we just say, we're going to tell
you. Like, oh, yeah, so there's this thing that happened. We'll talk about it next time. Okay, I got to shout out Whiskey. Jameson, to be exact. I had quite the weekend, this holiday weekend for us Americans. Maddie, I'm sorry you didn't get to participate.
I participated in spirit.
Yeah, you were here. I mean, I half the weekend I was wearing a Canadian flag on my fucking.
Hey, I bought the biggest chicken I could find, and I pretended it was a turkey. All right,
boy. All right, there you go. All right, so we're crossing borders here, motherfuckers.
There is no borders, man. We're all good. We're all good.
Yeah, so, like, long story short, I had a fucking car show this weekend. Like, my motorcycle club, Crumbs Villains, gotta give them a shout-out, because I love them. We had a car show, our first annual Thanksgiving weekend car show kind of thing, and I had to be there at 6:30 on Saturday morning. And I started drinking Jameson at 9:30, because it's a bar. Like, well, one of our members owns a bar here in town, which is where we had the car show. We had a great turnout, by the way. Like, not that any of you people give a shit at all, but we had a great turnout. It was awesome. And it was more than we expected. But what ended up happening was about an hour into it, like, after you get all frantic and you do all the setup and you got everything going on and you get all the cars parked and you do all this shit, then you stand around for hours and hours and hours looking at the same cars you've already seen, but there's a bar inside. And we're all a bunch of alcoholics. So we went in and started drinking whiskey all day long, which led into, like, me starting some shit with the singer of my band later on that evening.
Which, oh, my God. What? What did you get in fight with him for?
Oh, whole different story.
Okay, with next episode. Whole
different story. Yeah,
meanwhile.
Meanwhile, back in the Batcave, like, we were doing this motorcycle club thing, and then I had band practice, and, like, that night, which I was not in any shape to be at all. And then, like, the long story short, what came out of my mouth to his girlfriend was, maybe we could get some more shows if our fucking singer didn't look like he was fucking 45 years old.
Oh!
Which, he doesn't, but, man. I was pissy. Shit happened. And so, like, I was talking shit. I was being an asshole. And then we ended up back over at the president of our club's house, drinking, having a good time all night, having a blast. And he actually lives down the street from me, and I had to be carried home by the president of our fucking motorcycle car club. I had to be carried home, and when I got to the top of the stairs and went inside, my girlfriend decided to stop on the porch and have a cigarette, and I don't know what I said to her, and I don't know what she said to me, but it pissed me off. So I locked her out of the house, and I went and I passed out in her bed.
Oh my God.
And so then she threw her fucking shoulder into the door a bunch of times as she's screaming at me. I hear none of this because I'm out. And I had to have all this explained to me the next day. And then she had to go back down the street to our president's house and go hang out with his fucking girlfriend and fucking pass out at their house. I get a call Sunday morning.
You're an asshole.
Can you let me in the fucking house? I just unlocked the door, and I went right back into our room, locked the door to our room, and went to sleep till, like, noon.
Oh, man, I was worried about you. I'm tweeting away, and I'm like, man, this guy ain't responding. I hope he isn't in a ditch somewhere.
I completely disappeared from everybody for the whole weekend, because I was just, like, it was one of those weekends, like, I don't give a fuck. I'm drinking whiskey. I'm having a good time. I'm out. Like, I've got a bunch of shit to do. I've got band stuff going on. I got fucking car club shit going on. Like, you know what? The Magic's going to have to take a back seat for the weekend. And for the love of fuck's sake, like, man, I missed you guys.
You know what? At least you realize one thing. And I think sometimes people get on Jay Bush and the golf thing a bit too hard. But the truth is, you got to take breaks from this game. You can't be so crazy every day in this game. Or you know what happens? You turn into Jordy Tate. You turn into these annoying motherfuckers who every goddamn second they're critically analyzing you and telling you you're, oh my God, you're a fucking idiot for playing fucking this card or that card. Like, okay, dude, chill. You know, like, it's time to relax. Go do something else.
Exactly. Chill the fuck out. Just play Magic and have a good time. Like,
Exactly.
It is what it is.
If your job, if you're getting paid by Wizards of the Coast, then you know, that's fine. You can do magic every day. But if it's just fun for you, then try to keep it fun, guys.
Get the fuck, like you've said before, get the fuck out from behind the screen and go do something.
But then again, the
Kalia neckbeards we were talking about earlier, like they don't have anything else to do, so they
Well, and that's the problem, though, right? You have to find something else to do. Hey, even if it's cosplaying, right? Even if your break from magic is to go sew together a bunch of shit and make a Thalia costume, and even if you've made it about four sizes too small for your body, at least you're trying, right? Just kind of be more honest with yourself.
Yeah, it's like a trade-off. Like, well, you know, what's the worst that can happen? You made a Thalia costume. You're like four sizes too big for it, and Heavy Metal and Maddie Studios make fun of you for it. But you got like 6 hours of entertainment out of it. You got to feel like a real woman for a little bit.
And think about it. You got made fun of by Heavy Meta. So yeah, that's exactly. Something. You know how many people we made fun of? Not many. We've only done 6 episodes. We're trying.
We had a chance to make fun of too many people.
So you may be one of like 1,000 people.
Yeah. Exactly.
Something. Hey, we will make a shirt for you. If you feel that, I'll tell you right now. We love the fans so much. If you are so upset.
I don't say that you should. Like, when we do the Heavy Meta shirts, I think we should have just, like, the Thalia artwork. But, like,
obese Thalia?
Fucking sword in the air, just fucking.
No, it's not a sword. It's a bunch of donuts or something.
Yeah, just a box of donuts spilling all over the place, but really reaching it into the sky, and just this obese, fat man. Wearing the same clothes.
They're popping off his groin and shit. That'd be awesome.
It's weird. Like a rip in his sweats that comes right up to the fucking, right up to the fucking bottom of his chubby little short dick.
So seriously.
Durfington, please get on that artwork.
Yeah, so seriously, Durfington, there, right there, buddy. There is your Thursday's cartoon. I don't want to see anything else. If you do not do the fat Thalia who needs to go on a treadmill, then there's something wrong with you, buddy. But as a side note, as the last shout out, Cosmo the Paula Titan or politician, if you feel so pissed off, if we've hurt you to that bad, if we've hurt you so much, please DM me, send me your address, and I will make you the very first shirt. I'll make you a Heavy Meta shirt with our apology. I will put sorry, you motherfucker. From Heavy Meta. It'll be a one-up, limited edition. If you are so offended by us.
He's going to get, like, the first time, he's just like, oh, right on, those guys are pretty cool. He's going to wear it to a tournament, and some random listener's just going to punch him in the mouth and light him on fire.
Oh, shit. We do not condone. The Heavy Meta legal team has told us to put this disclaimer. We do not condone lighting a fire of people of anything.
I do. I absolutely Heavy Meta does not. Heavy Metal does.
Yes, that's true. His lawyers are a different thing. Anyway.
This ass has gone on for like a good solid month.
It's literally we are in December already.
I don't think there's anybody else I need to give a shout out to. I mean, like,
I think you're good.
Fuck it. I don't even remember who I've given a shout out to so far because we just can't stop talking.
Yeah, there is. I don't think there's anybody left to shout out that's worthy of anything.
All right.
This is it. We're out of here, man.
I swear to God, we're leaving.
Santa Claus is fucking.
Hey, fun,
man.
Go fuck yourself, Santa Claus.
No, do not fuck Santa Claus. Seriously, that is a bad idea. Santa Claus is listening.
All right. So I guess now that I got that, like I got your counterspell out of the way, so I can say, go fuck yourself, San Diego.
San Diego can fuck off, man. All those fucking Thalia neckbeards in San Diego can just fuck right off. All right, I am out of here, and we are out of here, and this is it. Done. I mean, oh my God, hold on.
Robot Large.
Thank you. Fuck. You know what? He's sweating. I guarantee you, he sweats.
Like, right till the end of the shout-out? Yeah.
I guarantee you. I know he was sitting there like, I can't believe they're going to end the show. They said they wouldn't. Last episode, they said they would not end the show.
They said they wouldn't fucking end the show.
You know what we got to do the next time? We should go to dead silence for like 3 minutes and then get him. Ah, gotcha, Robot Large.
Track on fucking CDs back when we were in fucking...
secret track.
Secret track. And then it's like, oh yeah, by the way, shout out Robot Large later.
Yeah. Oh, see, now we said it. I'll edit this out.
Nah, yeah. Oh, you're going to have to edit it in. You're just going to have more editing to
do. Oh, fuck, man. All right, so Robot Large, again, buddy, we're never going to forget you.
Ever. Hey, you're a boy. We promised you
if
we would.
If that motherfucker ever gets a cast, he better fucking shout us out every episode. You hear what I'm saying?
So whenever we want to.
Yeah, seriously, you owe us.
His plate. Do whatever the fuck we feel like.
That's right. If we want to call in and just wreck your show, you let us.
Right. It's going to happen.